This copyrighted broadcast is presented by the authority of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated. For the private use of our audience, any reproduction, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of this broadcast, descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated is prohibited. Fayetteville Woodpeckers baseball is live from the sandhills of North Carolina to the coastal plains and from state line to state line. This is the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Welcome to the Woodpeckers pregame show, getting you set for first pitch. Let's send you out to the stadium.
Down here in the manager's office, joined by Ricky Rivera on the Woodpeckers pregame show, our weekly chat with the Woodpeckers skipper, and we're getting ready for game two of this series between the Woodpeckers and the Kannapolis Cannonballers. Ricky, welcome back home. Nice to be home, as always. Got in a little bit late on Sunday, I know, with that rain delay out in Salem. All told, though, last week on the road, I think that series, you know, it turned out for the best for Fayetteville after kind of a rough start. Windy, cold, it was kind of ugly. Weather warmed up, bats got hot, Fayetteville takes 3 of 6 out there in Salem. And what were your thoughts from that past road trip for the guys?
Well, we always go into every road series trying to approach one game at a time. Obviously, it gets really tough on us when we put up the back-to-back performances like we did in that series. You know, we gave up 24 runs in the first two games. One of the games, they only had 6 hits, so that means we played pretty sloppy ball, wild pitches, pass balls, errors, walks, hits, error, whatever it had to do, you know. Things couldn't fall for us those 2 days, so it's pretty tough to go out there, and especially with the conditions, like you said, it was cold, windy, rainy. A lot of these Latin guys had never played in the cold and stuff like that, and they're like, I can't feel my hand, this isn't that. But at the end of the day, both teams were playing the same conditions, so we just got to get the guys, and that falls on me, getting the guys more prepared to face those adversities or those conditions. But I thought it was awesome the way they responded. I mean, you go out there, and obviously Devo and Trey gave us that one hitter, that almost no-no. We take a no-hitter into the ninth, and there's no better way to bounce back than just a statement win like that. When we win 7-0, you know, we dominate on all sides of the field. We play clean baseball all around, and then obviously we carry that momentum into the next two games, and we end up with a split on the road, which is always what we try to do on the road. Obviously, we try to win every inning, but when you go out with a split on the road, that's pretty good for us.
Yeah, that performance from DeVos and Dombrowski, the one hitter, no hit bid going into the ninth inning, that really did seem to turn the feeling of the series and help get the guys back in and winning 3 in a row at that point. That just shows how hard it is, though, right, to get the no-hitter done. I thought Trey going out to the ninth inning, he was the first guy out to the mound before everybody else was out there. I said, this guy's going to go and get this thing done. First pitch, though, of the ninth inning, pulled out into left field. It's tough. One mistake pitch, and it's over.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was – I mean, we were as close to perfect as it could be. You know, like, we Trey threw the ball extremely well, which has been his MO out of the bullpen for us. He's been so good out of the bullpen. It was funny because I kind of challenged him this week, and I was like, all right, man, you're starting this week. Like, give me that same energy, that same focus you've had, because he's a guy that the guys rally around, and you guys saw how he could turn around a series by himself, you know, with this dominating performance that we've seen before as well. But like you said, I mean, it's just one pitch, you know, everybody trying to dive, everybody trying to make the right play, but luckily enough, we got an out at second base there, right there, and we killed probably the only part of momentum they had that whole game.
Locked up the 7-0 shutout in that one. Trey will be the starter tonight for Fayetteville as they go back-to-back left-handers to open this series. Nadal on Tuesday, now Trey here on Wednesday night. Zach Cole last week in Salem, though, he was one of the big stories on the offensive end. He was building up some good karma, I think, early in the week. Hit a lot of hard balls right to infielders. Probably could have finished the week with 11 or 12 hits in the series. He finishes 9 for 21, drives in 7 runs on just 5 games. He didn't even play on Sunday. And hits a pair of home runs, first Woodpecker to homer multiple times in a series. I don't know why I went into the season with this kind of preconceived notion that Cole was going to be more of a contact-oriented speed guy at the top of the lineup. But no, he hits for power. I mean, this guy who hit 13 home runs his final year in college, and we really got to see that pop on display in Salem. That must have been fun watching him right in the middle of your order all week.
Yeah, Zach's a guy that we've he's extremely toolsy. He's fast. He can go catch it in the outfield. He obviously showed off his arm. He has the hit tool, you know. So he's a true five-tool player for us. He's a guy that we were really high as in Oregon. He's a guy that we've just been preaching to him. He's like, if you control the zone, if you don't chase much, you're going to be okay. You're going to be fine. Because he makes, like you said, he makes loud contact often in the air, which equates to good slugging, good weeks, you know, a lot of home runs and stuff like that. It's just him staying within himself in the zone. And I think he did a really good job last week with two strikes. Both of his home runs came with two strikes. You know, staying in the zone, staying stubborn, laying off those marginal pitches that we probably can't do much damage with. And going out there and executing the plan, you know, like obviously Reynoso gets the guys prepped on how we're going to face and approach a pitcher, you know, depending on what his repertoire is. And Zach does a good job of being locked in when we do those meetings and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was fun to see him being dialed, like the guys say, you know, for whatever many at-bats it was last week. And luckily enough, he was rewarded with the Player of the Week.
Ryan Clifford had a good series as well, doing what he usually does, multi-hit games, getting on base. And he was promoted to High A Asheville right after the conclusion of that series in Salem. Conversation going into the year was Clifford's 19 years old. You know, there's other college-level prospects who were drafted by the Astros last year that are up in Asheville or Corpus Christi. Clifford's got to be hanging around Fayetteville for at least half the season, right? That's what we all kind of speculated. But when you have a 500 on-base percentage in your first month in single-A baseball, it's hard to not, I guess, as an organization, decide to challenge that 19-year-old to the next level of baseball. What was that conversation like for you guys as coaches, just watching him really dominate this league at such a young age? And what was that conversation like with Clifford when you got to bring him the news that he was moving on to Asheville?
Well, Clifford is a guy, like I've alluded before, that he's just a pro, man. Like, he comes from a pro family. He's been around pro baseball for a little bit. His dad, funny enough, actually played for Asheville. Yeah. So Clifford's going to get out there and be the second one in his family to play for Asheville, which is kind of funny to me and pretty wild if you really think about it. But Cliff's a pro, man. Cliff is the most mature 19-year-old I've coached. I can say that. He goes out there, competes. He doesn't take his first at-bat to the next one and so on and so forth. You know, he doesn't carry the negative or the positive. He doesn't ride the roller coaster. It's a guy that stays even keel. But it's same thing as Cole, you know. Clifford dominates the zone. He controls the zone. He knows what to strike. He knows what's a ball. He's not going to extend. He knows what he's looking for. He goes up there with a plan. He doesn't expand his zone with two strikes. And, I mean, obviously you can see that. I mean, he almost had as many walks as strikeouts. You take away those last two games, which in that last game, he was not supposed to play, but we had some things happen that I was like, hey, I know you didn't go through practice. You kind of have to go play. You take away that last game, and he might be like even or just one more strikeout than walk, and that's so impressive from a 19-year-old in a level like this where there's plus stuff, and the pitchers not necessarily know where it's going, so sometimes you're going to get 99 right at you or 99 right painted in the corner, you know, but he's just an impressive hitter. I think I think he's going to move through our system pretty fast, or I hope he does. I know if he continues this, I mean, he's going to be a big leaguer at some point. He's a pro in every sense of the word, man.
On the pitching side of things, one of the trends we're seeing at this stage in the year, there's been a lot of box called, whether it's the Woodpeckers or, you know, the opponents. It seems like there's a balk or two at least a game. Last home stand against Down East, there was a ton of them. I'm curious as to what that has to do with. I mean, pitch clock seems like it might be a factor. It's a new thing in Major League Baseball this year. It's a second year thing now here at the single-A level. Seems like though as a pitcher, you were a pitcher in your college and pro day as well, and it seems like you have to get that sign in quick. You have to have quick agreement with the catcher, because if you don't have that sign and you're set, then you rush it, you know. But what do you make of, you know, some of the balks we're seeing, and do you feel like guys are rushed at all on the mound still at this stage with the pitch clock?
So I don't necessarily think they're rushed. I do think like the pitch clock plays a factor, and you don't really notice how much time you got really when you're on the mound, because yeah, the clock is right diagonal from you when you're on the mound, but how many pitchers look anywhere but the catcher, you know, when you come set or when you're getting the sign or whatever it is, you're about to deliver a pitch, you're just looking at the catcher, so the clock's kind of on the side. And I just think, like, some guys, you know, have been maybe not rushed, but, like, maybe sped up a little, just trying to get through it. We have guys that this is their first time in the States,
right?
Not just playing here with the pitch clock, just in the States in general. I mean, last week we have Geddes pitching in front of 6,000, 5,000 people, the first time ever pitching in the States, you know, it's like, okay, dude, like, yeah, of course he's going to balk here and there or whatever it is. But, I mean, our focus is not really on that. I mean, obviously we want to clean that up, be able to not give him free bases, especially with how good our pitching staff is. I think if we limit those free bases, we'll be able to hold opponents to less than three. And we when we hold them to less than three, we give ourselves a chance, and we'll be pretty good on that side. But I just think it's a combination of the pitch clock. I mean, not only the pitchers, but for the catchers as well. I mean, I have two catchers that had never catched in affiliated baseball, you know, so they've never played with the pitch clock before. So therefore, they might be rushing through the sign, and it's not what the pitcher wants or what the attack plan says and stuff like that. So I think it's a combination of a little bit of everything. It doesn't fall specifically on anybody. Also, we saw the case with Mike Knorr before he got called up. He got like three or four balks in a game, but it was a tendency, you know, like it's it's something he does every pitch. And if you guys watch baseball, Mariano Rivera bounced on the mound seven times with his foot before throwing. That's a tendency, so it shouldn't be called. But those are things that, like, get addressed, talk to, you know, we don't want to place blame on anybody. Just got to figure it out and move forward.
Yeah, and keep in mind, at the big league level, they also have the pitch comm system between catchers and pitchers, which I don't think we're using it anyway here in single A. So it's all still the old-fashioned finger and communication a little bit more difficult on that front. Last thing, Ricky, I know you and I like to watch a little NBA in our free time when the game ends and we get to go home. So I need a NBA Finals prediction out of you. The Celtics are on the brink. Philly's looking good. Denver pretty good in the West. So are the Lakers. But I think I'm going Philly-Lakers NBA Final prediction. What say you?
So that would be my ideal Finals prediction because of personal reasons, but I just think the Lakers and the Warriors are beating each other up right now, so I'm gonna go Philly Denver. I think the Joker is the real deal. I think he might have gotten snubbed for that MVP. His stats are ridiculous, and that team, I mean, they could be deeper too. I mean, they have Reggie Jackson that's not playing and guys like that can get deeper. I do think the Lakers are the best team right now the way they're playing. But this series has been tough. Like, AD and LeBron are playing 40, 42 minutes a game. This is all close games besides game one. So it's going to be fun. I'm a big NBA guy for sure.
Yeah, I think the Warriors, after they played seven against Sacramento, and now they're going to have to go seven if they want to beat the Lakers, I think the Warriors and their dynasty might be on the brink. Well, good stuff. Ricky, thanks for sitting down with us, and good luck the rest of this week at home against the Cannonballers.
Thank you, man. Go Packers.
Go down to the diamond. Woodpeckers baseball starts now.
Dirty throws it deep left field. This ball's way back there. Tie game. Three run home run. Line drive out to left field. Long run. It gets down. It hops off the wall. Rounding third. That ball's in the bullpen. This game is over.
This will clear the bases. Whitaker going into third. He has driven home all three.
Line drive out of the right field. Mansueta looking up. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. A two-run walk-off home run. And that pitch is called strike three. They have done it. The second combined no-hitter in Woodpeckers franchise history.
Welcome into downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina, where it's time for Woodpeckers baseball, game two of this six-game series between the Fayetteville Woodpeckers and the Kannapolis Cannonballers. Hello, everybody. Welcome inside the broadcast booth. Andrew Chapman joined by Colin Casey, and we are ready for first pitch.
Trey Dombrowski
has taken the mound for the Woodpeckers, and he faces off against right-handed batter Jordan Sprinkle. First pitch of our game is out. A top-of-the-zone fastball, and it's called strike one on Sprinkle. Underway just a couple of minutes tardy tonight, 7:09 p.m. It is a beautiful day in Fayetteville. It was pretty warm today, but it's dropped down to 75 and sunny. Jordan Sprinkle lifts a high, deep drive out into left field on the first swing of his day, and it's caught at the warning track by John Garcia. An over-the-shoulder running grab, well played by Garcia. Bested ball probably for Jordan Sprinkle on the series. Brings up Brooks Baldwin, the right-handed hitter. The Woodpeckers come in tonight 12-15 on the year. They're in fifth place in the Carolina League South and the number 4.5 games out of first place behind Augusta, Myrtle Beach, Kannapolis, and Columbia. First pitch home to Brooks Baldwin. Slider in there for Dombrowski, and it's 0-1. Meanwhile, Kannapolis has played one game fewer than Fayetteville, 14-12 record. They are in second place in the Carolina League South, two games out of first behind Columbia. And now Brooks Baldwin gets underneath one, sends a soaring fly ball out to left, and that'll find the train tracks for a nothing and two count. Trey Dombrowski gets the start today. He pitched on the road in Salem last Thursday out of the bullpen. He and Nolan DeVos carried that no-hit bid into the eighth inning of the game. Trey gave up the only hit of the night in the top of the ninth and now switches roles with DeVos. We'll see him a little bit later today. Trey with a 1-1 record, 3.43 ERA. His 0-2 to Baldwin down in the dirt. One ball and two strikes. Sixth appearance, third start for Dombrowski. He's gone 21 and a third innings this year, given up 8 earned runs, 3 home runs, 9 walks, and 33 strikeouts. His wind, kick, and 1-2. Gets him swinging. This kicks away from Encarnacion off to the left. Fayetteville catcher quickly jumps on top, fires up the first baseline, and completes the strikeout. Well played by Encarnacion on the defensive end. It'll bring up Tim Elko, and let's meet the rest of the Fayetteville defense. Colin behind Dombrowski.
Yeah, along with Encarnacion doing the catching, Ricardo Ballo over at first base. Leo's Danny Molina, the second baseman today. Jackson Lofton at short. Narbe Cruz moves over to third base. In left field, John Garcia. In center, Rolando Espinosa. And the right fielder, Tyler Whitaker, rounds out the Fayetteville defense.
Trey Dombrowski begins with a changeup strike to Tim Elko. And it is 0-1. Cannonballers back in their road blues today with ballers in white cursive across the chest. Elko swings, fouls it back 0-2. Red numbers on the backs of those blue uniforms. They have a blue batting helmet with the cannonballer on the front of that helmet. A red belt, gray pant, and a navy pinstripe down the side of the leg. The Woodpeckers are in the retro uniforms with the three-tone ball cap, a black backing, a white front, and a red bill. And home plate umpire Cameron Jones wants Trey to toss out the baseball, give him a new ball. The white uniform, white shoulders, black block lettering, Fayetteville across the chest, the striping pattern down the bottom of the torso. Here's the 0-2. Elko looks at a backdoor slider, and that's strike three. Trey Dombrowski strikes out a couple in a 1-2-3 top of the first. We've got the Woodpeckers grabbing the bats for the first time when we come back. Espinosa, Whitaker, and Cruz lead it off. The rest of the Woodpeckers starting lineup as well. When we return, in a moment.
In the world, Bunker. Bunker's entrance is brought to you by Cumberland Tractor Kubota of Fayetteville. Visit their location at 1530 Middle River Loop, right here in Fayetteville, for a variety of services and Kubota equipment. Come on, fans, let's make some noise for Bunker! Hey, fans, do you want free tacos? Well, here's your chance. If the Woodpeckers score 6 runs tonight, all fans in attendance will win a free taco from El Cazador. If the magic number hits, fans will receive a coupon on their way out tonight. Coupons are redeemable at any of their locations here in Fayetteville. Say we want tacos with me on 3. 1, 2, 3. Oh, you sound hungry. Leading off the bottom of the first inning for the Woodpeckers, the center fielder, number 1, Rolando Espinosa.
Trey Dombrowski starts out the Cannonballers with a 1-2-3 inning, and now left-hander Shane Murphy climbs to the hill and faces Woodpeckers leadoff hitter Rolando Espinosa. First pitch fastball top of the zone is called strike one. Espinosa will be followed by Tyler Whitaker and then Narbe Cruz. Ricardo Ballo is the cleanup hitter tonight. Here's the 0-1, and it's fouled backwards. Nothing and two on Espinosa. John Garcia bats fifth, followed by Jackson Lofton sixth. Luis Encarnacion, the catcher, is 7. Sandro Gastón, the DH, 8. And Leo Stanley Molina rounds it out. He'll be at second base. Rolando Espinoza, back-to-back days as the leadoff hitter after the promotion of Ryan Clifford to High A Asheville. Slider down and inside, and it's 1-2. Yesterday, he did his job as a leadoff hitter. He was able to get on base twice in 4 plate appearances. Started his day with 2 strikeouts, but then walked and singled. Espinoza swings a little late, fouls it off, and it stays at 1-2. Shane Murphy, the left-hander for the Cannonballers, second lefty that they've rolled out in this series as a starter. Yesterday it was Tyler Schweitzer. Shane Murphy, 0-1 record, 1.80 ERA, making his 5th appearance and start. Here's a ground ball pulled out to short. Waiting back on it is Sprinkle. He collects, throws to first, a backhanded grab by Elko. And there is one away. In the inning, that brings up Tyler Whitaker. A couple other numbers on Shane Murphy. 20 1/3 innings of work now on the season. He's given up 7 runs, but has had some defensive miscues behind him. Only 4 of those have been earned, thus the low ERA. He has allowed just 1 home run all season and a great walk-to-strikeout ratio. 3 walks given up, 26 strikeouts. One away, base is empty. First pitch to Tyler Whitaker is low and away, and it is ball 1. On the Las Vegas native, Tyler Whitaker comes in batting an even 250, a home run and 10 RBIs on the season. Here's the pitch. And Whitaker takes a fastball outside border, and it's 1-1.
Really is incredible how similar Dombrowski and Murphy are in terms of stature. They're both 6'5", both throw left-handed, both have really good off-speed stuff, and both know how to go deep into ball games.
Fastball strike to Whitaker. Yeah, Murphy eats up innings when he's out there. He's got no fewer than 4. This season, Whitaker calls for time. 5 scoreless innings, his last time out at home at Atrium Health Ballpark against the Augusta Green Jackets. And he didn't give up an earned run in his debut as well on the road in Delmarva. There's a breaking ball and foul to the feet. Whitaker will keep the count at 1-2. Lowest ERA of all qualified arms right now in the Carolina League. Shane Murphy with that 1.80. Stands 6'5" out there on the mound, 210 pounds. Tyler Whitaker swings and hits a high fly out of the left center field. Laureano going back on it. He's at the track and up against the wall. Makes the catch. Segra Stadium barely holds it. And Tyler Whitaker halfway to second base, left shaking his head and turning back to the dugout. He just missed it.
I just needed a couple more feet. Couldn't get it over the head of left fielder Joanna Beal Laureano. Out in center field for the Kannapolis Cannonballers is Brooks Baldwin, Drake Logan in right, Bryce Willis, the third baseman, Jordan Sprinkle, the shortstop, Wilbur Sanchez at second, Tim Elko at first, and drawing into the lineup, the catcher tonight, Troy Klontsch, who's a big fan of your shoes, ahead of pregame,
right.
Chaffee.
He did. He said, what size are those Air Maxes? And unfortunately, they were too small for him. So I might be able to squeeze into him. I might have sold him right on the spot if he offered me. Hey, us broadcasters got to earn a living.
Right.
Narve Cruz behind in the count, 0-2, with 2 outs and the bases are empty. Here's the pitch. And it's down to the dirt, blocked by Klontsch. The count is 1-2. Narve Cruz comes in batting 247. He has 3 home runs. Second on the team behind Zach Cole and 15 RBIs. 21 total hits on the year. Murphy at the chest, pitches, and Narve Cruz pops this one up. Sailing over towards the Fayetteville dugout, right near the on-deck circle. Look out, Murphy stumbling over near the top step of that dugout. And did he come away with the ball? I believe he did. Yes, he caught it. Almost lost his balance. Wasn't sure if that ball was in the glove. He finally shows it. And how's that for fielding your position? Taking over between his catcher and his first baseman and going 1-2-3 in the Fayetteville first. We go to the second. No score on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
It's time for the fast food race. Tonight, it's ketchup and mustard versus the hot dog. Place your bets, place your bets. Hot dog, are you ready? Condiments, are you ready? Go! And they're off. Oh, ketchup. Ketchup. Ketchup is not playing catch-up tonight. Oh, my goodness. Hot dog wants the condiments, but they're not having it. Ketchup with a commanding lead. Oh, the hot dog lost a crock. The hot dog lost a crock. She's got it. But ketchup Oh, my goodness. All day long to the checkered flag. It's ketchup. Give it up for ketchup. Come on, hot dog. Everybody's looking at you. Let's go, hot dog. Let's go. She's done it. Fantastic. Hey, Sacred Stadium, give me a go, Packers, on three. One, two, three. Absolutely.
Nationwide is a proud partner of Minor League Baseball.
When life throws you a curveball, Nationwide's protection knocks it out of the park. They really go to bat for you.
Those puns are a swing and a miss.
Kind of like them.
Nationwide is a...
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Trey Dombrowski. Leading off the top of the second inning for the Cannonballers, the third baseman, number 27, Bryce Willicks.
Bryce Willicks leads off the top of the second inning. Kannapolis and Fayetteville scoreless over the first inning, each side going down in order. And a changeup is in there for strike one. Trey Dombrowski made quick work of Kannapolis in that first. He struck out Brooks Baldwin and Tim Elko. And a changeup down and outside is called a ball, 1-1. Willits, in yesterday's series opener, was batting fifth. He slots up to the cleanup spot today, reached three times on a pair of walks and also had an RBI single. And now he swings and drills it out into center field. Angling to his right, Espinoza. He gets to the track, and Segra Stadium will hold on to another deep fly ball. Catch is made. Bryce Willits back to the dugout. And we've seen already three balls onto the warning track, Colin, and all these hitters coming up a bit short. It's not windy tonight, none to speak of, and a little bit of a breeze, and maybe we have some home runs at this stage.
And that's one concern, I think, for Dombrowski in this start. Remember the last time he pitched, made a start in this ballpark against the Wood Ducks. He did surrender a pair of home runs, so trying to keep those fly balls from carrying out towards the wall. So far, he's done his job on the mound, four up, four down.
Troy Klontz, in his first at-bat of the series, takes a changeup down and away. Next one home, swings and wraps a foul ball left of third. Past the manager of the Cannonballers, work in the third base coach's box. That's Patrick Leland. And over at first base for Kannapolis is actually a player out there. That's Mario Camaletti, who was batting second yesterday and takes on the duty of first base coach today. 1-1. Slider, high outside edge, called a strike. Travis Roberson is working the plate today. Cameron Jones is on the bases. The two-man umpiring crew in the black ball caps, black polos, and dark gray pants. Dombrowski's 1-2 offering. Misses outside. And it's two balls and two strikes on Troy Klontz. He is a free agent signing by the White Sox going back to last year, a Vacaville, California native. Infield, outfield, just about straight up against Klontz, the right-handed hitter. Swings at a 2-2 slider and fouls it off of Encarnacion. Klontz at 146 on the air. He does have one home run and six driven in. Swings at another two-strike offering and rolls it foul to the side of the third base bag. It will stay 2-2.
He played in 15 games last year with Kannapolis at 254 then. Still trying to get his offense going.
Yeah, playing in his 14th game of the season tonight. Another 2-2 pitch ripped on a line that ricochets off the glove of Narbe Cruz and trickles out into left field. Cruz is in a good spot to make that play, but that line drive had some sink on it. He reached down to his left ankle and couldn't grab it cleanly. That'll go down as a hit. First of the game for the Cannonballers in both offenses. And Troy Klontz will like to see that one find the outfield. He picks up his eighth hit of the season and his seventh single. Now here's Drake Logan playing for a second straight night. First pitch down and in on a fastball, and it is 1-0. Logan batting 197. He's playing in his 21st game, has a double, but no triples or home runs and four driven in. 1-0 offering is an outside corner changeup. 1-1.
Logan had a single his first at bat yesterday, and then it was quite the struggle from at the plate the rest of the way. Struck out in three of four plate appearances, finishing 1-for-5.
1-1 one strike pitch is hoisted to the right side, but that'll get on the concourse and goes to 1-2 on Logan.
A lot of righties in this lineup today for Kannapolis. You wonder if it's by design given how effective Trey Dombrowski has been this year against lefties. 17 strikeouts, zero walks coming into today against Southpaws.
And here's a high fly hit to right, but again another foul ball for Logan. Last year in the Chicago system, he was primarily playing at third base. He was a corner infielder, but this season he's starting to transition to the outfield, and they have him out in right field. Jumps up a couple of spots in the order. From where he was yesterday, he was batting seventh. And there's strike three looking, a changeup, fading on the inside, and Trey Dombrowski has his third K. It's the second looking. Two outs, man on first, no score, and Jonaker Betancourt, who debuted for the Cannonballers yesterday as the catcher, is stepping in. He's the DH today. A slight bend in the knees and an open stance as Dombrowski, the lefty, peeks to first and throws. First pitch slider, bounced along the third base chalk line and foul. So 0-1 on Betancourt. In his debut last night, he walked and singled, reached base in two of his four trips to the plate. Big hole on the right side of the infield here. Leo Molina shifted all the way towards the middle with two outs. They're just telling Betancourt to try and go the other way. 0-1, fastball down and in. It was close. Encarnacion couldn't squeeze it. 1-1.
That fastball, not an overpowering one for Trey, but he still knows how to mix it in with the perfect amount of frequency. And now we've got a pitch clock violation called.
No, they're clarifying the count here, and I think Cameron Jones said it's 1-2. I didn't see him tap the wrist that it was a violation, or he said it's 2-1, I guess. The pitch home. And that's foul.
Yeah, you're right, Chappie. I didn't see any sort of indication that someone committed a violation.
Very short lead down at first for Troy Klontz. He's not testing Dombrowski, and Dombrowski tests Betancourt with a high fastball and gets him swinging and missing. Strike three. Four strikeouts over two scoreless for Trey Dombrowski, taking a stellar trip on the road and bringing it right back here to Sagres Stadium. We go bottom two, no score on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Testings.
Thank you, sir. It's Wagon Wednesday. It's time for the dog show. We've got four amazing pups for you tonight. Let's roll it. First, wearing the Woodpeckers jersey, this is Chipper Jones, the pug. It's his birthday today. He's turning 2 years old. He's not trying to suck up to the judges or anything by wearing the Woodpeckers jersey. Next, we have Harley. She is a miniature Aussie doodle. Very pretty scarf, Harley, looking good. Next is Luna. Look at the size of the paws on this thing. Luna is a Newfoundland. She's going to be enormous eventually. And last but certainly not least, we have, look at this thing. This is Oliver. He is obviously a dachshund. Gorgeous little dog. All right, so we have Oliver, then we have Luna, Harley, and Chipper Jones. Please vote for your favorite dog at guest services right inside the main gate. We're going to see you again in the sixth inning to see who won. So vote for your favorite dog, guest services inside the main gate. Take it away.
Fans, to vote for your favorite dog of the night, stop by the fan information table. Voting closes at the end of the fifth inning. Good luck.
mi autoestima no te agrada, porque cuando llego te desgrada, de cuarto hay un mal tiempo y de talento una vaguada, te guada, todos los
back on the mound for the Cannonballers, Shane Murphy.
Soy yo, date pa' que te peine.
Leading off the bottom of the second inning for the Woodpeckers, the first baseman, number 9, Ricardo Ballo.
Bottom of the second inning, and cleanup hitter Ricardo Ballo leads it off for the Woodpeckers. Swings at the first pitch, high drive center field. Baldwin back on it to the track, reaching up at the high wall and making the catch. By my count, the fourth ball that we've seen make it all the way to the warning track. Two for Kannapolis, two for the Woodpeckers. And all of them falling just a little bit short. Ballo is one of the hottest hitters in the Carolina League right now. Batting over 400 on the season. Missed out on his second home run of the year. Good to see him swinging, though, from the right side of the plate. Getting to a lot this week with these left-handed starters. And now it's John Garcia taking strike one on a fastball from Shane Murphy. Went 1-2-3 in the first and has retired the first four batters he has faced tonight. 0-1, a foul tip into the mid of Clunch, and it's nothing and two.
Both pitchers, Dombrowski and Murphy, going right after hitters, mm-hmm. not falling behind in counts. They want to get ahead.
High breaking ball. Murphy doesn't have a strikeout yet. Dombrowski's already struck out four Cannonballers. And surrender just the one base hit on the Troy Clonch single. Infield, outfield, straight up against Garcia. Swings at it down an inside breaking ball. He was fooled. Clonch blocks it, comes up with the ball, steps inside of the first base line, fires to Elko, and that'll complete the strikeout. Two quick outs for the Woodpeckers in the home second inning, and Jackson Lofton is coming up. Woodpeckers over the first week and a half of the year had the best offense league-wide. They've slipped to about middle of the pack. They come into tonight batting a collective 238. And they're starting to drop down in the home run rankings a little bit as Lofton swings, fouls it off right side. They've got 17 home runs on the year. The Woodpeckers over their previous three seasons in this ballpark have always been a top three home run hitting team in the Carolina League, but they're down to seventh this year. Lofton takes outside. Meanwhile, this Kannapolis team, mostly thanks to Tim Elko and his league-leading eight home runs, have 20 as a club, and that's tied for the third most league-wide. They have the ninth best average, though, at 226. Jackson Lofton ready. The 1-1 is low and inside. Two balls and one strike on Lofton.
I don't care how early it is. Having 40% of your team's home runs is a very impressive accomplishment.
Lofton wears the high socks today with the black and white and red rings around the calf. Swings and lifts it out into right field. This ball slicing towards the foul side of the pole and will get into the four tops. Might have actually landed right on the buffet tables out there. 2-2 on Lofton. Base is clear. And no score here early in game two of the series. Fayetteville trying to level it up after a 5-1 defeat yesterday. Offense came by with just three hits, all singles. Lofton swings, and this is a drive out of the left center field. Laureano and Baldwin coming together on it. It is Laureano, the left fielder, striding to his left and cutting it off in the alleyway for out number three. Well, the Woodpeckers are getting the ball in the air, but nothing to show for it so far. They've gone six up, six down to start the day. We head to the third. No score on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
For all your air conditioning, plumbing, and electrical needs, show us those tumblers. Oh, so cool.
You never take advice. Someday you'll pay the price. I know. I've seen it before. It happens all the time. You're closing the door. You leave the world behind. You're digging for gold. You're throwing away a fortune in feeling. But someday you'll pay.
Yeah. Trey Dombrowski. Leading off the top of the third inning for the Cannonballers, the left fielder, number 16, Joanna Beal Laureano.
Joanna Beal Laureano leads off the top of the third for Kannapolis. The 8-9-1 to face Trey Dombrowski. We're scoreless after two, and now to take you through the next two, let's send it over to Colin Casey.
All right, thank you, Andrew. Ground ball hits sharply to short. Jackson Lofton comes up with it, a stretch by Ballo. And Laureano is retired very quickly to begin this third inning. Trey Dombrowski out just the one hit to Troy Klontz in the second inning, but other than that, he has been lightning efficient. 6-3 put out to begin this frame, and Wilbur Sanchez will get his first at-bat of the series. We saw some of Sanchez last year in the season series between Fayetteville and Kannapolis. First pitch to the Venezuelan misses. Sanchez still just 21 years old. Hitting 161 on this season. There's a hard grounder, and again, now Lofton moving to his right. Tough throw, the dig out, Ballo's got it, and Sanchez is out. Jackson Lofton and Ricardo Ballo with a couple of nice defensive plays on both ends to begin this third inning, and Trey Dombrowski cruising one time through the order. Two up, two down.
I like some of the digs that Ballo's made this week. He had a couple yesterday that helped out Brian Perez on throws up the line. Now with Ryan Clifford gone, who was filling a little bit of first base, Ballo might get more starts there, and he's got good positioning on the bag and really scoops it well.
First pitch breaking ball to Jordan Sprinkle, called a strike. The 0-1 fouled off to the right. It's a good chance these two guys squared off in the Cape League back in the summer of 2021. Trey Dombrowski, the 2021 Cape League Pitcher of the Year for Harwich. Jordan Sprinkle playing some games for the Orleans Firebirds. Two-strike pitch, misses downstairs, he lays off. Dombrowski, actually, his Cape League teammate, Billy Seidel, closed out the game yesterday. A 5-1 victory for Kannapolis. Breaking ball misses outside. Seidel, the Duke product, former teammate of Joey Loperfido, has actually been phenomenal in the back end of this bullpen to start the year for the Cannonballers. He's got five saves atop the Carolina League. Fastball dips inside for a ball, and Sprinkle works it back full. Trying to avoid issuing his first walk of the contest. Base is empty, two down. Here comes the payoff pitch. And a good take by Sprinkle. Doesn't go after the curveball in the dirt. And he heads down to first with a two-out walk. Of course, it keeps the inning alive, but Sprinkle has lightning speed over at first base. And we'll see if he's in motion with the lefty Dombrowski on the mound. I'll bring up Brooks Baldwin. He was the first strikeout victim of the contest for Trey. He gets a first pitch fastball just above the letters. Sprinkle has five stolen bases so far this season. He has been caught twice. Had 25 in multiple seasons at UC Santa Barbara. Another fastball misses upstairs. Baldwin yesterday, a couple of hits, including an RBI single. Scored an insurance run in the ninth inning. 2-0, down and away. And now Dombrowski in danger of issuing back-to-back two-out walks. Dangerous Tim Elko looming on deck. Not a big lead for Sprinkle, the pitch. And taking all the way in, Baldwin sees ball four. So Kannapolis threatening with two down after a couple of ground outs, a pair of walks, and in steps Elko.
Well, that was a well-located fastball for Dombrowski. It's the high fastball that he struck out Betancourt with in the second. And there might be a little bit of talk in the dugout. You know, other scouting report as guys go back to the dugout saying, hey, watch for that high fastball. And that gets into the ears of hitters, and then they start to lay off of it. So I think
Zach Wilkins now, pitching coach, going to the mound. Might talk to Trey about how they want to go about locating the fastball. It's the thing with Trey. You know you have command, but as hitters adjust, you have to make adjustments as well. And that seems to be the point of this meeting.
It's a quick one as Wilkins heading back to the dugout. Trying to keep this one scoreless, going to the bottom of the third. We talked about before, Elko leading the Carolina League in home runs with 8. Kansas-born righty steps in, and he'll take ball one. It's now back to that first at-bat in which Sprinkle drew a walk. Trey Dombrowski's now thrown 8 straight balls. He's ahead 0-2 on Sprinkle, just couldn't get the punch out. Hit hard on the ground to third. Narbe Cruz has it. It's a foot race to the bag, and he beats Sprinkle there to end the inning. So Trey Dombrowski works around a couple of two-out walks. The Cannonballers strand a pair, and we go to the bottom of the third inning, still scoreless from Segra Stadium.
Of all sizes, ages, and breeds, and never shy away from a medical case, no matter the cost. As a helping hand in the community, they pull at-risk dogs from local overburdened shelters and place them in foster homes, as well as partner with rescues in northern states to help dogs to find their forever home. They have saved 175 cats and dogs so far this year. You can support them by going to ittakesavillagerescue.com and select Help Us. Every Wednesday, you can donate supplies like food, toys, and collars directly here at Segra Stadium. If you're interested in fostering a rescue dog or would like to apply to adopt, please visit ittakesavillagerescue.com or stop by their table above Section 126 for more information. For the Cannonballers, Shane Murphy. Leading off the bottom of the third inning for the Woodpeckers, the catcher, number 23, Luis Encarnacion.
7-8-9 due up for Fayetteville in the bottom of the third inning as Shane Murphy for Kannapolis has retired the first 6 batters he's faced, and Luis Encarnacion swings at the first pitch. Chops it to third. Bryce Willits throws across the diamond. One pitch, one out, and Murphy continues to be efficient. We'll bring up Sandro Gastone. Still scoreless from Segra Stadium. Gastone still in search of that first single-A home run. Hitting 161 on the year, 8 runs driven in. And he cracks one out to right field, backing up Logan, but he's there in front of the warning track. Another hard hit ball to the outfield. But all it results in is a loud out number 2. 2 pitches, 2 outs for Shane Murphy.
Boy, that was a good swing. Gastone just put on the ball. Read the pitch. I thought he had one there, but again, the ball keeps dying tonight.
Not a whole lot of wind. Very strange, and I think Leo's Danny Molina just taking strike one to avoid the 3-pitch inning there. Molina batting 191 this year. A homer and 8 driven in. Takes a ball outside. Murphy was initially drafted out of high school back in 2019 in the no longer existent 31st round by the Philadelphia Phillies. Opted not to sign, bet on himself, and ended up playing at Chandler Gilbert Community College, played well enough to get himself taken in the 14th round last year by the Chicago White Sox. Looking for another 1-2-3 inning, and Molina stays alive. Murphy from Chandler, Arizona, where he also went to college. Graduated from Hamilton High School, the alma mater of Chicago Cubs outfielder Cody Bellinger. Two-strike pitch, and Molina pulls it foul off to the left. Seen Bellinger have a bit of a resurgence ever since signing with Chicago, the other Chicago team, of course, in the offseason. Broke on the scene as a dynamic player for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Bellinger, a fourth-round pick out of high school back in 2013, as Molina swings and misses. And it's second strikeout for Shane Murphy, who has gone 9-up, 9-down to begin his outing. It's a pitcher's duel at Segra. Kannapolis nothing, Fayetteville nothing. We head to the fourth.
Make some noise to let us know where you're sitting. Off the top of the fourth inning for the Cannonballers, the third baseman, number 27, Bryce Willits.
Trey Dombrowski back on the mound for Fayetteville to begin the fourth inning. Still scoreless here in downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina. Colin Casey alongside Andrew Chapman. And the first pitch to Bryce Willits is hit out to right center field, falling, and it gets past Espinosa and goes all the way to the wall. Willits rounds second, and he is into third with a stand-up triple. Bit of a miscommunication, I believe, between Whitaker and Espinosa in the right center field gap. And then Espinosa seemed to overrun the ball. It landed a bit behind him, ends up allowing Willits to get all the way to third base, and a bit of bad luck there for Trey Dombrowski. What could have been an out ends up being a leadoff triple.
Well, you know, just the fourth game that Espinosa's played in center, first since he came back to Fayetteville. And, yeah, that's a ball he's got to take control of, but I think there was a miscommunication in the gap out there, and maybe he thought Whitaker was going to cut in front, and before he knew it, he kind of overran the ball. They will score that a hit, though.
That'll prompt the Fayetteville defense to bring the infield in against Troy Claunch, who singled his first time up on a hot shot over to third. Well, the left side of the infield for Fayetteville playing further back than the right side is. Claunch takes one a little bit low. Dombrowski working for the stretch. 1-1. In the dirt, bounces away from Encarnacion, but Willits didn't get much of a jump at third, so he'll stay put.
Trey kind of eyeballed Elko over there at third base, and that was kind of stopped him from hustling down the line, or pardon me, Willits.
This will be pitch number 48 for Dombrowski. His 2-1. Fouled off to the left. A big strikeout if he can get it. Drake Logan in the on-deck circle. And time is called as Clonch wants another second to think it over. Woodpeckers this year, they are 10-5 when they score first. When the opponent scores first, they are 2-10, so it could be a significant run. Standing at third base, a sinking line drive, and that run will come in to score. Ball falls in front of Whitaker, an RBI single for Troy Clonch. He moves to 2-for-2 on the contest, and Kannapolis takes a 1-0 advantage. Ball wasn't hit all that hard, but Whitaker playing relatively deep. Just couldn't run in and get it in time, and once that ball landed, Willits sprinted on in. There's another ball hammered out to right field, this by Drake Logan. It's carrying, and it's gone. Two-run home run for Drake Logan, his first of the season. And Kannapolis, all of a sudden, has taken a 3-0 lead in the fourth. Quite the turn of events over the last three at-bats.
It was really only one day where Trey Dombrowski had some home run troubles, Colin, where he mentioned that's here at home against Down East. And out to right field, it can be hitter friendly at times, and Kannapolis doing a good job of hitting some of these balls the opposite way, giving the outfield trouble.
Janiker Bettencourt fouls off the first pitch. Dombrowski has now given up three home runs in his last two starts. Seems to still be a bit more effective as a reliever than he has been a starter this year, but again, you have to wonder how much different this inning would have looked if he got that first out on the fly ball, hit into the gap. Another ball cranked into the left center field gap this time, a base hit. Garcia gets it in quickly. He's going to try for two. And now Bettencourt caught between first and second. Bala will try to run him down. He flips it on to Lofton, who places the tag. And Bettencourt is retired for the first out. Bit ambitious going for two, but he is dead meat. And a much-needed first out for Dombrowski and the Woodpeckers.
Yeah, I didn't see if Cambaletti working first base today was giving him the hard go-ahead or if it was kind of a self-made decision for Bettencourt. That's always a sinking feeling in your stomach where you think you're going to grab a double and you make it about 15, 20 feet around first and realize you've made a mistake.
Jelena Beal-Loriano with a check swing, and he did hold up. It's ball one. He grounded out his first time against Dombrowski. Breaking ball, that's low. So Woodpeckers again falling behind in the early going. Took until the eighth inning yesterday to get the offense really going. I mean, they only had three hits, a season low. Swing and a miss, it's 2-1. Previous one was in the Down East series, but those three hits, yeah, the fewest that the Woodpeckers have mustered in a game. A lot of credit to Kannapolis' pitching staff. Tyler Schweitzer going six scoreless to start the ball game. There's a called strike, 2-2. Fronder Varas picked it up in the seventh and eighth innings, gave up the lone run. Check swing, and that is strike three, as Laureano could not hold up. So Dombrowski picks up his fifth strikeout of the ball game, the second out of the inning, and we'll look to just try to minimize the damage after an inning that got away from him. Wilbur Sanchez, the nine hitter up. Breaking ball misses down and in. Next pitch will be number 60 for Trey. He has now struck out at least five batters in five of six appearances this year. Another sharp liner into left center, and Sanchez has a two-out single. Starting to see a lot of hard contact against Dombrowski, so seems like Kannapolis, second time through, have seen the ball a lot better against the lefty.
And ever since they started laying off his high fastball, they've been looking for more breaking balls middle or low in the zone, and they're doing some damage on that slider. Just shows how quick this game can turn on you on the mound. Trey hadn't given up a run over about a seven-inning stretch, and now everything's falling for hits.
Sanchez takes second. The ball gets away from Encarnacion, but he got there well ahead. Gave Leo's Danny Molina a playful shove after he got there, and it was all in good fun. Those two guys saw each other a lot last year with Kannapolis playing Fayetteville for 24 games, and both of them were on the roster for just about all season. Dombrowski gets a new baseball. Runner in scoring position for Jordan Sprinkle in a 1-0 count. Actually 2-0. Glance over at second base, and Sanchez on the move. Ground ball hit to short, Lofton. Tough hop, but he plays it well and throws the ball low to retire the side. However, Kannapolis jumps on Dombrowski for three runs, including a two-run shot off the bat of Drake Logan. And the Cannonballers take a 3-0 lead into the bottom of the fourth here at Segra Stadium on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Smile, Cam. What up?
The bottom of the fourth inning for the Woodpeckers, the leadoff hitter, the center fielder, number one, Rolando Espinosa.
Shane Murphy heads back to the mound with some run support. 3-0 lead for the visiting Kannapolis Cannonballers over the Fayetteville Woodpeckers, and Rolando Espinosa takes a ball high. 9 up, 9 down so far for Murphy, including a pair of strikeouts. Espinosa grounded out to begin the game offensively for Fayetteville. We'll see if the Woodpeckers have the same success that Kannapolis had the second time through the order against Trey Dombrowski. Espinosa, a bit late on the changeup, sends it foul. Rolando got a chance to play out in Texas for a couple of weeks. Being called up for coverage. Spent some time in both Sugar Land and Corpus Christi. And a called strike two at the knees. That average, though, in Fayetteville, 239 for Espinosa. Still looking for his first home run. He's driven in three. Takes a ball up high. Six doubles. Had a lot of extra base hits. 375 on base percentage, big reason why he's at the top of the order since Ryan Clifford's promotion. Just inside for ball four, and there's the first base run of the ball game for the Woodpeckers. Game of inches, but Rolando Espinosa heads on down to first. Know what he can do on the base paths, and Tyler Whitaker, who put a charge into one in his last at bat, steps into the box. It's a deep fly ball out to left field. Murphy working from the stretch for the first time this evening. It's a fastball over for a strike. Ground ball to short. Sprinkle to second for one. Back to first. It's in time. A 6-4-3 double play. Just what the doctor ordered for Shane Murphy. And the bases are clear with two down for Narbe Cruz. Murphy back to facing the minimum.
Yeah, that's a big-time confidence boost as a pitcher. First time through the order, nobody can solve you. Nine up, nine down, you give up the walk, and then instantly you draw some contact on the ground. Defense has your back, and you feel like you can't lose up there.
Narbe takes a called strike outside. Cruz popped out, and it was a nice play by Murphy in front of the Fayetteville dugout to end the first inning. Now Narbe hits one out towards left field, but played perfectly. Laureano makes the catch about 10 feet in front of the fence, and the inning ends unceremoniously for Fayetteville. We're on to the fifth. Annapolis 3 and the Woodpeckers nothing.
Get on your feet for the Brian Hunter T-shirt toss. Make some noise for T-shirts.
Get a little bit, but down on the low key. She know how it feels. I saw the shorty, she was checking up on me. From the game, she was singing in my ear. You would think that she know me. Decided to cheat. Conversation got heavy. She had me feeling like she's ready to
walk out.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Trey Dombrowski.
I gotta keep it real now, cause on the 1-10, she's a certified 20. But that just ain't me. Hey! Cause I know, if I take that chance, she swears it's gonna leave. But what I...
Leading off the top of the fifth inning for the Cannonballers, the center fielder, number 6, Brooks Baldwin.
Brooks Baldwin will bat to begin the fifth inning. 3-0 Kannapolis. Trey Dombrowski back on the mound and back on the play-by-play with his dinner in hand. Voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
All right, thank you, Colin. The very first pitch of the inning is swatted out into center field by Baldwin. And that'll die medium depth out there. Rolando Espinoza hardly has to move. One pitch, one out. And Dombrowski on his way to trying to complete five innings. Tim Elko getting ready to come up to the plate. And so here at Segra Stadium this week, we have an alternating carousel of burgers that are available out at Bagwell's Burgers. Last week it was the Incinerator, a spicy burger. And this week we have the Bunker's Sweet Nest. And, folks, when I tell you this thing is a beast, I mean it.
Yeah.
First pitch strike to Tim Elko. This thing has, first of all, an all-beef patty. Cheddar cheese as a ground ball is pulled to third. Cruz the pickup and a throw across the diamond in time for out number two. Bacon, cheddar cheese, and a strawberry black pepper mayo. And don't forget about the main thing, a glazed donut for the buns. And we're going to try this thing live on the air right now.
I am steeped in anticipation.
You know what they say, Colin? You don't come to the ballpark to count your calories. As the new batter is Bryce Willits, and the first pitch is down and outside. Here we go. I'm going all in.
Live on the air. Microphone's getting in the way. Jappy's going to spend 12 hours in the gym after this one.
Oh, man. This is something else.
Did they give you napkins?
I could use a couple.
Yeah.
This is like dinner and dessert all in one. I think I'm into it.
Yeah.
This screams America right here,
yes,
too.
Yes, it does.
Slider over the middle. That's a strike to Bryce Wood. Okay, this is available at Bagwell's Burgers. The Bunker's Sweet Nest.
Who said a donut and a beef patty couldn't go together?
Yeah. Had one of those in my time in the Cape, and it actually did work, believe it or
match,
not.
It's a match made in heaven. Trey Dombrowski gets Bryce Willits to swing and miss, and that'll do it. I'm going to keep eating this burger. We're going to the bottom of the fifth when we come back.
And at this time, we'd like to recognize tonight's Methodist University hometown hero, Staff Sergeant Aaron McDonald. Staff Sergeant McDonald works as a C-17 aircraft mechanic. He is originally from Sumter, South Carolina, and Pope Army Airfield is the third base he's been stationed. Previously, Staff Sergeant McDonald has been stationed at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Alaska and Kadena Air Base in Japan. He has served 10 years in the military so far. His hobbies include coaching youth baseball and spending time with his family. Fans, let's hear it for Staff Sergeant McDonald. Thank you for your service.
Where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that life to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, because there ain't no doubt. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA.
Back on the mound for the Cannonballers, Shane Murphy.
Every American heart.
Leading off the bottom of the fifth inning for the Woodpeckers, the first baseman, number nine, Ricardo Ballo.
Ricardo Ballo is the leadoff hitter in the bottom of the fifth for the Woodpeckers. 3-0 Kannapolis on top. And left-hander Shane Murphy is back out there. Ballo, Garcia, and Jackson Lofton, 4, 5, and 6 of the order to bat here. As the slider comes in, it's foul tipped. And it's 0-2. I still got some of this donut burger, Colin, if you want to give it a shot.
Yeah,
I was pleasantly surprised. And if you're tuning into us on radio or you weren't able to see us on MILB.TV, we'll have the video for you of me consuming a donut burger live on the air coming in the Woodpecker social media. So stay tuned for that. A swing and a miss by Ballo for strike three, and there's one gone.
With all due respect for folks at Bagwell's Burger, it does look delicious, but I do, in fact, care about my heart health, so I'm going to have
to decline. Oh, come on. I've seen you in the drive-thru of Krispy Kreme before, Colin.
That wasn't me.
A swing and a fastball by John Garcia, and he sends it into the net. So Shane Murphy is on his way to doing what the left-hander Tyler Schweitzer did yesterday. Schweitzer went six scoreless. Shane Murphy trying to go five scoreless here and could be due for a little more as well because his pitch count is very solid. 47 pitches. And he's now in a 1-1 count with John Garcia. Sun is mostly departed. Stadium lights starting to light up the diamond. Garcia punches one out into straight up center field and a couple of steps to the left for Baldwin. He makes the catch in front of the track. Two up, two down.
Yeah, and this Cannonballer staff is sneaky good. Man, you look at their numbers, ERA coming in today, ninth in the league, whip sixth, tenth in strikeouts. But you look individually at all the talent they have. You had Schweitzer yesterday, Murphy today, Connor McCullough, who was the pitcher of the week, named this past Monday, going tomorrow. Like, there are some names on this staff that have put up some really good numbers through the first month of the year.
It is a one ball, no strike count after a slider down and into Jackson Lofton. Next pitch is popped up, and this should end the inning. Tim Elko off the line at first is calling for it, and he makes the catch on the dirt, inning over. Another 1-2-3 inning, five scoreless now for Shane Murphy. And we head to the sixth with the Cannonballers leading 3-0.
For this kiss, it's time for the ERA Strother Real Estate Kiss Cam.
I don't want another heartbreak.
kiss cam.
Don't turn to cry, no. I don't want to learn the hard way. Baby, hello, oh no, goodbye. But you got me like a rocket, shooting straight across the sky. It's the way you love me. It's a feeling like this. It's centrifugal.
Kiss cam.
It's perpetual.
Kiss cam.
It's that pivotal moment. It's impossible. This kiss. This
kiss cam.
Said to Snow White, how does love get so off course?
Kiss cam.
All I wanted was a white knight with a good heart, soft touch, fast horse. Ride me off into the sunset, baby, I'm forever yours. It's the way you love me. It's a feeling like this. It's centrifugal motion. It's perpetual bliss. It's that pivotal moment. It's
Woodpecker's pitching change is brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto Service. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 21, Nolan DeVos.
David Bell.
Hey, I'm seeing a Chevy with a beat like me. Hey, I'm seeing a Chevy with a beat like me. Hey, I'm seeing a Chevy with a butterfly dough. Stunt, stunt is a habit. Put it in the air. Stunt, stunt is a habit.
Leading off the top of the sixth inning for the Cannonballers, the catcher, number 17, Troy Clunch.
Troy Clunch leads off the top of the sixth inning. The Cannonballers have a 3-0 lead, and now they face new Fayetteville right-hander Nolan DeVos. The fifth rounder from Davidson comes home, and the first pitch is a fastball outside, 1-0. Clunch, Drake Logan, and then Yonaker Betancourt will be the 5, 6, and 7 hitters due to face DeVos. Fastball placed for a strike, and it's 1-1. DeVos started last Thursday in front of Dombrowski, and he pitched 5 hitless, scoreless innings in the front end of that no-hit bid that went to the ninth inning. Comes in with a 1-0 record and a 2.29 ERA. Fastball in there again, nothing in 2, 1-2 that is. 19 and two-thirds total innings for DeVos. He's given up 11 hits, just 5 earned runs this year, 13 walks to 28 strikeouts. Here's the set and the 1-2 pitch. Swinging a fisted liner that'll get foul into the netting. And it stays 1-2 on Troy Clunch. First game of the series, and he's having a good one. Guy that came in batting below 170 on the year, and he's 2-for-2 with a pair of singles. And he drove in a run, scored a run in that 3-run going front fourth. Next pitch, a little late on a fastball, but he spoils it off. It'll stay at 1-2. DeVos line last time in Salem, 5 innings, no hits, no runs, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. It was the 3rd scoreless outing of his season. It's 5 total. 1-2 runs outside, gets to the screen. 2-2. He went 4 scoreless innings in his debut here at home against Fredericksburg back on April 11th, and then he went 4 scoreless at home against Down East. So was really a guy who pitched his best baseball at home in the month of April, but then he changed that narrative with his 5 scoreless on the road. Here's a chopping ball sent out towards second base, sprinting to his left Molina. He'll glove in the shallow grass, do a 360 spin, and throw to first in time to get the out. Leo Molina making some nice plays on the middle infield this week. Diving stop on a short-hopping liner yesterday up the middle. And one of the great infield plays we've seen all season long. And had to correct after being positioned up the middle a little bit against Clunch. And records the first out for DeVos, brings up Drake Logan, who hit a 2-run home run over the right center field wall in the 4th inning. Pitch is down and outside. The first home run of the season for Drake Logan. He's 1-for-2 with a strikeout mixed in as well. The pitch, Fastball centered in the zone. It is 1-1.
I talked about it yesterday, Chappie. That right center field wall, it's obviously great for pull hitters, but you put a charge into one the other way out to right center, and you can find yourself a fairly short home run if you position it right, and that's exactly what Logan did on that swing.
84-mile-per-hour changeup by DeVos gets it to 1-2. And here's the next pitch. Fastball sails up high. There it is, 2-2. 3 runs, 6 hits, no errors for Kannapolis tonight. No runs, no hits, no errors for Fayetteville. Only base runner so far came on a Rolando Espinoza walk. And the 2-2 pitch. Fastball struck him out looking. Drake Logan goes down on a 93-mile-per-hour heater on that outside part of the zone. And Nolan DeVos. There's 2 quick outs in the 6th inning. Final line for Trey Dombrowski tonight. Has him at 5 innings. He gave up 6 hits, 3 runs, all of which were earned coming in the 4th inning. 2 walks and 6 strikeouts. Now Jonaker Betancourt. And first pitch is down and outside. A changeup by DeVos, and it is 1-0.
Still good to see Trey come out for that 5th inning, though, and bounce back with a 1-2-3.
1-0 pitch. Was a little bit down. 2 balls and no strikes. Fayetteville in the home 6th inning. Still looking for that first base hit. We'll have their bottom three. Encarnacion, Gaston, and Molina. Shane Murphy's faced the minimum tonight thanks to a double play in that 4th inning after Espinoza walked. Fastball and Betancourt late swinging. Keep an eyes out on that bullpen for Kannapolis, and it does look like they have a little bit of activity. A right-hander is out there throwing, so day may be done for Murphy. Fastball framed high and outside, just missed, and it's 3-1. Thought maybe with the pitch count of Murphy, the fact that we saw them push Schweitzer to a season-high 6 innings last night, they might go for it again tonight, but doesn't look like it'll be the case. And pitches down and in, a walk by DeVos. But I guess never say never. They might just have a guy warming up to be ready in case Murphy needs it. So Betancourt has reached base for a second time. That is the 3rd walk issued tonight by Fayetteville pitching. Joanna Bielloriano now steps in. He's 0 for 2 with a ground out to short and a strikeout. First pitch, a fastball in the outside corner. Strike 1 to Betancourt. Middle infield is pinching towards the bag. Pitch comes in and it misses down and away. There was a little bit of a check swing. They appeal and Travis Roberson says he didn't go. These Cannonballers trying to go up 2-0 in this series after a 5-1 win yesterday. Fastball outside edge called strike 2, and it's 1-2 on Betancourt.
It's the 56th meeting all time, and Kannapolis closing the gap. Fayetteville 29-26 against them all time.
There's a fastball in the low inside corner, and boy, that was a close pitch. And Ricky Rivera's barking from the top step of the dugout. They thought that was strike 3.
Certainly seemed like it.
Very close. I guess DeVos has gotten that outside part of the plate a little bit. I'm calling the strike on the inside edge, though. Short lead off of first for Betancourt. Here's the pitch. It is low. 3-2. Full count on deck is Wilbur Sanchez, the 9-hitter. Kannapolis did all their damage in the 4th inning on an RBI single from Troy Klontz and a 2-run home run by Drake Logan, his first of the year. And now DeVos will step off, use the first of 2 disengagements, and shuffle back through the signs from Encarnacion. Settles down to the belt, and here's the pitch. Runner on the move, fastball down and outside on the corner, and he didn't get the call. And the Fayetteville dugout yelling again. Well, he didn't get the inside pitch, and unless they were maybe calling that one a little bit low, it seemed like it was right over that outside edge of the plate, but a tough break for DeVos as he issues back-to-back 2-out walks.
very, very close once again. Seems like the zone just kind of tightened up on him all of a sudden.
First pitch, fastball is in there for a called strike, 0-1. DeVos walked three when he was in Salem last week. And two here in this sixth inning. Fastball up and outside. It is 1-1. He got the win in that 7-0 shutout victory. His first win of the season. He had gone the first four outings all of April without a winning or losing decision. There's a fastball powered in to Sanchez, and it's 1-2. He was late swinging at that one. He's got another two-strike count, trying to leave a couple of base runners stranded. Fayetteville's left four Kannapolis runners aboard on the pitching side so far, trying to leave a couple more here. Keep it at 3-0. DeVos set at the belt, and the 1-2 misses outside. Two balls and two strikes, so just looking for that put-away pitch. And DeVos is... had a long inning now.
Yeah.
27 pitches in this sixth inning. This turns into a kind of a must-have at bat for him as the 2-2 comes in. And he strikes him out swinging. DeVos using the fastball to get himself out of a back-to-back two-out walk spot. And now Fayetteville still searching for some offense. They have just three hits across this whole series so far. Nothing tonight. And they go to the bottom of the sixth inning, trailing 3-0.
Thank you, sir. It's time for the Wagon Wednesday Dog Show finale. Quickly, let's run through our contestants one more time. First, there was Chipper Jones, the 2-year-old pug, his birthday. There's Harley, the miniature Aussie doodle. There is Luna, the Newfoundland. And last, but certainly not least, there's Oliver, the dachshund. Folks, this one wasn't even close. It was a landslide. Your winner tonight is Luna! Congratulations, Luna. Here is your grand prize. And because Luna doesn't really like to speak, Dad, how about you give me a big go Peckers?
Go Peckers!
That's right. Congratulations, Luna.
Fans, this Cannonballers pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Cannonballers, number 21, Eric Adler.
In the Jewish community, I won't tell on the bros with immunity. Can't feed them, they ain't gonna ruin me. I'm the only one now that I do me. I got by the group trying to do me. My life like a movie, get hit in the water. Hope I put in no work.
Now batting for the Woodpeckers, the catcher, number 23, Luis Encarnacion.
Bottom of the sixth inning, and the Cannonballers turn to the bullpen for the first time. Eric Adler is on to face Luis Encarnacion. Before he's even able to deliver his first pitch, he just got hit for a violation. So it'll be 1-0 on Encarnacion, and the first pitch home is a fastball at 95, right at the top of the strike zone. Eric Adler is a sixth rounder out of last year's draft from Wake Forest. Pitched collegiately not too far from here, and now the 1-1 pitch home is down and outside. Just recently activated from the 7-day injured list at the start of this series. That was on May 9th yesterday. And now makes his first appearance after five scoreless innings from Shane Murphy. The 2-1 popped up behind home plate, and that'll find the roof. Two balls and two strikes on it. Luis Encarnacion. Two and two. A swing and another foul off. Adler on the season. Has not pitched yet, so this is his 2023 debut. He was with Kannapolis last year over four appearances, gave up two earned runs across three and a third total innings. This is just the seventh outing of his pro career, and Encarnacion sticks the bat out and quickly puts an end to a no-hit bid to lead off the bottom of the sixth.
Yeah, I remember Adler in 2021, my time in the Cape League. He was with the Bourne Braves, and he was one of the most feared relievers out of anybody out there for Bourne. He came into every game. Basically, it was decided whenever he was coming into these ball games. Seven saves in 15 appearances, 2-0 with a 1.15 earned run average. He had a heck of a summer, really boosted his stock.
First pitch to Sandro Gastón. Misses down and outside, and it is 1-0. Yeah, Adler has never started a game. He's only been a reliever so far in his pro career. Six total relief outings. He did start for the AZL White Sox back in 2022. As Gastón takes a cut on the 1-0, fouls it backwards, and it's 1-1. That was just a brief tune-up before he closed out his summer in Kannapolis, and now a new season begins for Eric Adler. The right-hander, again, from Wake Forest, and he grew up in Rockledge, Florida. Down outside corner strike on a 94-mile-per-hour fastball, and it's 1-2 on Sandro Gastón. He hit the ball very well back in the third inning. Timed up a fastball and put it on a line out to the right field warning track and fell just short of that evasive first home run in his Carolina League career. The count is 1-2, a belt tie set and pitch. Gastón strikes out swinging. A high fastball gets him. And Eric Adler bounces back to get his first out after the single. Second time to the plate now for the nine-hitter, Leo Stanley Molina. Molina 0-1 with a strikeout facing Shane Murphy. And the first one home. Down and away. Murphy is now eligible for his first winning decision of the year. Came in tonight with an 0-1 record. Final line for him has him at five innings, no hits, no runs, a walk, and three strikeouts. Molina swings and lifts it foul down the right field side, and it is 1-2. A 1-1, rather, on Molina. The no-hit bid is done here in Fayetteville, but we're on a perfect game watch in the top of the seventh inning out in Myrtle Beach now. Scanning over the Carolina League scoreboard, the 1-1. Foul back. 1-2. Lynchburg leads Myrtle Beach 3-0. And Myrtle Beach has gone three up, three down every inning. For the Hillcats, one pitcher has gone six perfect with five strikeouts. It is Parker Messick. Pitch missed inside, and it's now 2-2 on Molina. Messick, a second rounder by the Guardians last year out of Florida State, and we'll see how that develops in the final three innings. Rarely do you ever in this league see a pitcher go nine innings. But see if the bullpen might be able to carry it on if Messick departs the game.
Yeah, he's at 61 pitches, so you'd think he could at least start the seventh.
Yeah. Leo Stanley Molina in a 2-2 count. Encarnacion shuffling the weight back and forth off of first. Pitch comes in, and it is just inside. Close changeup by Adler. Now the payoff. And Molina foul tips it. It got a piece of everybody on the way by. Clonch and the home plate umpire, Cameron Jones. Elsewhere in the league, Columbia and Salem out at Salem Memorial Ballpark are in a low-scoring game. 1-0 Red Sox. They're trying to get back to 500. And Columbia, who lost yesterday, the top team in the division, still at 17-11. Now a pop fly out towards the rain tarp. Encarnacion is off the bag, running on the pitch. But that ball will fall about six rows into the seats. And stay 3-2 on Molina.
Fredericksburg and Carolina are tied 2-2 at Five County Stadium. Augusta's up 5-0 on Charleston to the bottom of the fifth. Down East and Delmarva have already gone final. I believe they played a daytime game, and the Wood Ducks win that one 2-0 to go to 17-10 on the year.
Yeah, top the North Division. They really have been a revitalized team after a tough series against Carolina and their road trip they had right before coming to Fayetteville, and now they find themselves a team that has a lot of pitching, and the offense has really come together along with it ever since that series against the Woodpeckers.
Meeting on the mound between Clunch and Adler, and the home plate umpire Travis Roberson goes over to break that one up. You know, you look back, you know, in hindsight now with the way that the standings have developed, and the Woodpecker strength schedule has been pretty tricky, having already been on the road to see Columbia, facing Down East, two top teams in their respective divisions, and then another series against the Wood Ducks next week on the road in Kinston. Fastball up high on Molina on the 3-2 payoff, and it's a walk. First time tonight that Fayetteville has had multiple base runners on. And they get it back to the top of the order with Rolando Espinoza.
I wonder if Adler, in his first outing of the year, still trying to shake off the cobwebs from all the time he had off, long off season, and right now he's in a bit of a jam. The top of the order coming up, he's going to have to start throwing strikes to some dangerous hitters to get out of here unscathed.
First pitch to Espinoza, and a reluctant swing on a breaking ball. He ends up going through, and it's 0-1. Espinoza has grounded out to short and walked, now the third time through the Fayetteville order. Yesterday, the Woodpeckers had a bases-loaded opportunity. At one point, they were unable to bring anybody in, looking for those hits with runners in scoring position. Espinoza swings at another one down and outside of the zone. That's two pitches that really weren't close, trying to get him to fish and getting toyed with a little bit by Adler right here. That was yesterday in the second inning, the second, when the Woodpeckers weren't able to bring anybody home, bases loaded. They've had four hits across the first two games of this series, all singles. There was a breaking ball left in a pretty hittable spot, and Espinoza fouls it off. Espinoza doesn't look like he's gotten comfortable at any point in this at-bat. That was even kind of a 75% swing just to fight away the breaking ball. See what Adler goes with here. It's been all off-speed so far. And he buzzes the tower. Fastball backs away. Espinoza up and in. One ball and two strikes. If you didn't feel comfortable before, now you certainly don't. And Espinoza will dig back in. The 1-2. And slider struck him out looking. Hovering over the outside corner. And not the type of at-bat Rolando Espinoza was hoping to bring to the plate with two on and one out. Now there's two away. And it looks like we're going to have a pitching change. Quickly coming out of the dugout is Patrick Leland, and my assumption would be, since he just got off of the injured list, that Eric Adler might have been on a pitch restriction today of 20 or so pitches. And he will depart with 2-1 to his responsibility and two outs in the sixth. As of right now, no runs against Adler in his 2023 debut. A new right-hander to tell you about when we come back. There's two outs. Escarnacion at second, Molina at first, and the Cannonballers leading 3-0.
She rode aboard it, returned the sender, had the dress unknown, no such number, no such song.
Fans, this Cannonballers pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Cannonballers, number 20, Johnny Ray.
I'm just a stranger with a twisted smile and a wandering eye. Your heart.
for the Woodpeckers, the right fielder.
Tyler Whitaker will face a new right-hander. It is Johnny Ray out of the bullpen trying to get the final out of the sixth. First pitch to Whitaker. Sails up high, and it's 1-0. Ray 2-0, 8.71 ERA. He's given up a total of 10 earned runs over 10 and a third innings. This is his ninth relief appearance for the Ballers out of their bullpen. Whitaker with runners at first and second, allowed on by Eric Adler. And here's the pitch from Ray. Whitaker takes it high and outside. He's hit a couple of balls really well in this series so far. A line shot yesterday hit right to the second baseman. And tonight a ball that died on the left center field warning track. So he kind of feels due with the contact he's been making so far. Big spot here. Woodpeckers with multiple runners on for the first time. Now a spinner to throw down a second. It was choreographed with Sanchez cutting to the bag. And Encarnacion slides in just in time.
It was really nicely executed, in fact. They caught Encarnacion by surprise, but he reacted just quickly enough to get that foot in.
Belt high set, 2-0 pitch. Whitaker tried to attack one up high, and he was under a changeup. That wasn't, I think, the location that Johnny Ray wanted on a changeup, kind of high in the zone, but it was almost too high to where Whitaker couldn't get on top of it. Two balls, one strike. Here's the pitch. Whitaker swings and hits a high fly out into left field. Laureano going back. He's at the base of the wall, and that one dies on the track. Tyler Whitaker flips the helmet up into the air, tosses it aside. He can't believe it. Another one falls just feet short for him. A near game-tying home run. And the Woodpeckers will leave two stranded. So we go to the seventh, and the tough luck Woodpeckers trailing 3-0.
Law Firm can help. As a dedicated partner of the Woodpeckers over the last 5 years, Hutchins and the Woodpeckers would like to recognize the Hutchins Law Firm High Performance Season Ticket Holder of the Game, Deborah and Edgar Milligan. There they are. Hey, there's Bunker, cool as a fan.
If it's a car you lack, I'd surely buy you a Cadillac. Whatever you need, any time of the day or night. I'm not ashamed to say, I hope it always will stay this way. My hat is off, won't you stand up and take a bow?
Mound for the Woodpeckers, Nolan DeVos.
Thank you for being a friend.
Leading off the top of the seventh inning for the Cannonballers, the shortstop, number 5, Jordan Sprinkle.
Seventh inning, and the Woodpeckers trail 3-0 to the Cannonballers. Nolan DeVos is back out on the mound, and for the play-by-play in the inning, let's send it back to Colin.
All right, thank you, Andrew. Fastball misses up high. Sprinkle reached on a walk in the third. He's also grounded out and flown out. DeVos tries to get a fastball by him, but it's sent foul to the right. Once again, Fayetteville just trying to find a way to break through offensively, and they just haven't quite been able to, but it hasn't been for lack of trying. A lot of hard contact for the Woodpeckers. Just have not been able to find a gap in that Kannapolis defense. DeVos popping the mitt with a fastball. It's 1-2. He's got two strikeouts already. Trying to get number 3 with the off speed in the dirt. Misses down and outside. Flashing back 5 years ago today, the Fayetteville Woodpeckers, formerly known as the Bowie's Creek Astros, had quite a comeback victory as that ball hit in the air out to right field. Whitaker getting a good jump on it. He makes the catch for the first out. May 10th, 2018, the Buies Creek Astros fell behind 4-0 after one against the Myrtle Beach Pelicans on the road, and then responded with a pair of runs in the second and a 6-run sixth inning to complete an 8-5 comeback win at Ticket Return Field, as outfielders Ronnie Dawson and Osvaldo Duarte both had a three-hit game. J.J. Matijevic, a couple of hits as well. First pitch fastball to Brooks Baldwin, called a strike, but the pitching, the real story in this one, Ronel Blanco went 4 1/3 scoreless in relief, and current Houston Astro Brandon Bilak picked up his first minor league save as there's a called strike two on Baldwin. Bilak making his debut last week with Houston.
Pedro's had some big games out there in Myrtle Beach for some good, some bad, I should say.
Encarnacion, the catcher, thought it was strike three, was ready to throw it down to first base, but pitch missed, according to home plate umpire Travis Robertson. It's now 1-2 on Baldwin, who is 0-2 with a walk. He lays off to even the count.
There was a game in 2017, Buies Creek Astros, May 7th, where the Buies Creek Astros hit 7 home runs. Kyle Tucker had a pair. And the complete opposite of that last year, the Woodpeckers were no hit as an offense out in Myrtle Beach.
A called strike three, the third punch out for DeVos. Gets Baldwin looking. Tim Elko will bat with two down. Crazy to think about that Buies Creek Astros team in 2017 when the Houston Astros were in the midst of winning their first World Series in franchise history. Some of the stars on last year's team that won the 2022 World Series were just getting their start in professional baseball. And now, fast forward 5 years, and they're key contributors to a team that has certainly become one of the more dominant franchises in Major League Baseball over the last decade. 1-0 count to Elko, who is 0-3 tonight. Pitch pops out of the mitt of Encarnacion, 2-0. You have to wonder how many of those guys currently are starting the season here in single-A Fayetteville that sooner or later will find themselves on the Major League roster. Half swing, and Elko can't hold up, 2-1. One of those guys that jumps to mind is Drew Gilbert, who was with the Woodpeckers at the end of last year following him being drafted in the first round by the Astros out of Tennessee. Only played a few games before a season-ending injury, but he is already in Corpus Christi and had his first double-A hit earlier this afternoon. Called strike two on Elko. And with him already being 23 years old and showing he can hit at all kinds of levels, sky's the limit for the former Vol. 2-2 fouled back. Of course, Ryan Clifford making his high A debut today after being called up on the off day on Monday. Played in both games in the doubleheader for Asheville. Had a rough go of things, combined 0-6. Still looking for that first milestone hit. Fastball up and away, and Elko has himself a full count. Bryce Willits waits on deck. Nolan DeVos with the payoff pitch. A called strike three on the outside corner. And Elko had tossed his bat aside. Not a fan of that call. But it is a 1-2-3 top of the seventh for Nolan DeVos. The Fayetteville Woodpeckers look to get the bats going in the bottom half of the seventh. Stretch time at Segrest Stadium. 3-0 Canapolis.
It's time for the last call for any alcohol. Alcohol purchases at our concession stands will be cut off at the start of the eighth inning. Last call. Last call for alcohol. All right, fans, it's time for the seventh inning stretch. Get on your feet and help us sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Take, sing a little louder. I, so it's root. They
at the old. Attaboy, Peckers, attaboy.
There's a place you can go, I said, young man. When you're short on your dough, you can stay there. And I'm sure you will find many ways to have a good time. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. They have everything for your men to enjoy. You can hang out with all the boys. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. You can get yourself clean. You can have a good meal. You can do whatever you feel. Young man.
Fans, this Cannonballers Pitching Change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game, number 28, Yohemi Nolasco.
Heart of the order for Fayetteville, who trails 3-0 to Kannapolis, and Narbe Cruz rips the first pitch single into right field. Get the party started for the Woodpeckers. A rude welcome to the Carolina League for the debuting Yohemi Nolasco. Chicago White Sox international free agent signing of 2020 takes the mound for the first time. 19 years old last year, went 0-2 with a 4.93 earned run average in the Arizona Complex League, across nearly 35 innings in 13 games. First pitch swing for Ballo, and this could be two. Throw to second for one, and it is. Just another deflating blow for the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Cruz, the leadoff single, wiped away on the 6-4-3 double play. And credit to Nolasco, got the ground ball he was looking for. And on two pitches, he's got two outs.
It was a good job by Willits, the third baseman off of the line. He saw that Sanchez, the second baseman, needed more time to get over to second, so he delayed the throw and he put a little less on it. And the throw arrived right when Sanchez did, and quickly with the turn, a little bit off balance, and well put together double play altogether.
John Garcia bats. He's 0 for 2. Takes one up and in. A couple of Dominican-born players. Nolasco hailing from Yamasa. Spent 2021 in the Dominican Summer League. Called strike two on Garcia. Big breaking ball there. Here's the 1-2. And he blows him away with a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. And in the blink of an eye, the seventh comes to a close. Big-time double play ball generated by Nolasco. We're on to the eighth inning here at Segres Stadium. Still 3-0 lead for the Cannonballers.
Oh, it's time for Dog or Not a Dog. Take it away, Doug.
Thank you, sir. It's time to figure out whether or not this breed we're going to show Durante here. Durante, what do you do for a living?
I'm a cop.
Durante's a cop. All right, just so you know. All right? There's a round of applause, some booze. You know, that's what happens with cops. All right, Durante, your job's an easy one. All we're going to do is look up here. We're going to show you some dog breeds. You got to tell me, is it a dog or not a dog? So, first up, Bergamasco, dog or no dog?
No.
He says it's not a dog. Is he correct? It is a dog. It looks like a push broom or a mop or something. Dog number two, or no dog, Hovawart. Dog or not a dog?
No.
He's saying it's not a dog. It's a dog again. Good Lord. These are the weirdest dog breeds ever. All right, we got one more. Milbenkasi. Is it a dog or not a dog?
What type of word y'all be making, man? No.
He says no again. Is it? It is not a dog. He got it. We usually say go Peckers, but we're going to have Ellie say go Peckers. Ellie, give me a big go Peckers. Perfect. Go Peckers.
Back on the mound for the Woodpecker, Nolan DeVos.
getting late here on this Wednesday night in downtown Fayetteville. 3-0 lead for the Kannapolis Cannonballers. Nolan DeVos looking to follow up a 1-2-3 seventh inning. He misses downstairs to Bryce Willits to begin the eighth, and back on the play-by-play, the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
All right, thank you, Colin. Just two hits to speak of tonight for the Woodpeckers. Offense now bunt cued up along the third base side. DeVos off of the mound, quickly zips a throw to first, and the runner is out. Ballo was able to pull in the throw, but now they're going to change the decision as the runner crossed first base. Willits jarred the ball loose out of Ballo's glove, and they were unable to complete the play. Ricky Rivera has taken a step out of the Fayetteville dugout, but he's not going to argue this call. He'll recede back over there, and Willits will be on with, I presume, a single here.
Yeah,
I think
so.
They'll give him a single. It was an accurate throw by DeVos, but just a collision with the glove.
And
first pitch fastball to Klontz, called strike one.
And not much to argue, really, for Ricky. It was a situation where Cameron Jones just didn't see the ball fly out. He kind of had an obstructed view of that tag that was placed, thought it was still in the first baseman Ballo's mitt, but obviously it popped out.
Late swing in on a slider. Klontz is quickly down, nothing and two. Troy Klontz with a nice debut to this series, 2-for-3. He is singled twice. Driven in a run, scored a run. 3-0 Ballers out hitting Fayetteville 7-2 here in game two of the series. And the pitch. Swinging a fly ball foul to the right side. It'll stay 0-2. Klontz, the free agent signing out of Vacaville, California. Molina playing towards the middle of the diamond. Pitch comes in, and DeVos strikes him out swinging. Nolan DeVos starting to rack up the strikeouts. Five now over two-thirds, two and a third worth of work. Greg Logan, who's homered today and given Kannapolis two of their three runs, is up for a fourth time, 1-for-3. It's been a hit or miss type of day for Drake Logan. Two strikeouts and the long ball. And he takes a swing at one below the zone for strike one.
That's a big time swing when you look back at it. Still be a 1-0 game had he not gotten into one, and Fayetteville would certainly feel pretty good about their chances to scratch one across in these late innings.
Fastball outside. And this single to Bryce Willits starting out the inning, again, kind of a fluke play where the throw was accurate, looked like it was on time, but the collision with the glove jarred the ball loose. That's the first run that Nolan DeVos has given up in the month of May. Now a pop-up, drifting towards first base side foul territory, halfway between the bag and home plate. Coming up is Ballo in the grass and making the catch for out number two. But DeVos with five hitless innings in Salem back on May 4th. He'd gone two hitless tonight. Not a bad stretch from Nolan DeVos to start the month of May. Seven hitless innings before giving up that single with a little bit of an asterisk next to it. Now it's Jonaker Betancourt, the designated hitter. Was the catcher yesterday. He takes the first pitch down to the dirt, 1-0. He's reached twice today, a single and a walk. He's 1-for-2. Outside of that three-run, five-hit fourth inning, Kannapolis hasn't had a lot of base runners, just two hits outside of the long fourth. In that inning, they sent eight batters to the plate. Otherwise, they've sent no more than five hitters to the plate in any other inning. Betancourt ahead of the count 2-0. Molina still playing up the middle. Big hole on the right side. The pitch centers up the zone, and it's 2-1.
They feel in danger if they're unable to muster up another hit in this ball game. Set another record for the low on the season after doing it less than 24 hours ago.
Yeah. Runner on the move to second. Willits breaking, a swing and a miss on a fastball. The throw down to second is not in time. Tag was dropped right as Willits slid in feet first, and a very close play goes the way of the runner. Kannapolis has not been all that aggressive on the bases today, mostly moving along their runners with hits. That's the first time they've tested Encarnacion, and they're 1-for-1. The 2-2 pitch.
Clunch, or Betancourt, excuse me, takes it down and outside. Three balls and two strikes. DeVos lost a couple of these two-out at-bats back in the sixth. He gave up a pair of two-out walks. Trying to avoid it here with a runner on second. 3-2 is low and away. Third walk to for DeVos. And again, they've all come with two outs today. Second for Betancourt. He's on for a third time. And it brings up the eight hitter, Joanna Bill Laureano.
It's a big time out here that Nolan needs to get, really keep the hopes alive for the Woodpeckers. They can spark a late inning rally.
So he swings at one up top and missed it, nothing and one. Perfect game bid has come to a close out in Myrtle Beach. There was a base hit in the bottom of the seventh inning for the Pelicans, giving them their only base runners so far in the game. Fastball strike to Laureano, 0-2. DeVos quickly ahead. Messick was back out there for the seventh, and he gave up the hit. And he closed out the inning. One hit, no runs, no walks, seven Ks. Pitch down an outside corner, and Nolan DeVos gets Laureano looking. Three pitches, down you go. Two runners left on base. And Nolan DeVos threw three scoreless innings today out of the bullpen, still hoping the offense can help him. The Woodpeckers are just two hits on the night. They trail 3-0 going bottom eighth inning.
Cannonballers, Yohemi Nolasco.
Got me feeling brilliant, ride with no sin. Got me feeling brilliant, ride with no sin.
Most ho, go low.
Deal hard, good,
you know how we roll.
Leading off the bottom of the eighth inning for the Woodpeckers, the shortstop, number 22, Jackson Lofton.
Jackson Lofton leads off the home eighth inning for the Peckers, and they trail Kannapolis 3-0 in game two of this series. Here's the 0-1. Lofton pops it up over towards the first base side. Drifting in on it is Elko, and right next to that bag, he makes the grab for out number one.
Sound number one.
Bengals had a tough time defending home turf over the last couple of series. They lost their first five against Down East to close out April. And now they're in danger of losing the first two here in Kannapolis. And Encarnacion reaching out in front of a Yohemi Nolasco slider. It is 0-1. They fall tonight, and they've dropped seven of their last eight at home. Fastball on the outside corner, 95, called strike two. And last year, although it was kind of a tough season for the Woodpeckers overall, they still had a near 500 record at home. And down you go on three pitches. Fastball blows away Encarnacion. He goes to 1-for-3 on the day. And now it's Sandro Gastón coming up with two quick outs. Polar opposite from what we saw in opening weekend when the Woodpeckers took 6-of-8 against Carolina and Fredericksburg. Gastón ready for the first pitch. Here it comes. And a slider goes low. It is 0-1 on Gaston. 0-2 today. Line drive, the carry to the right center field warning track back in the third, and a strikeout. Last time up, he faced Eric Adler. And now the right-hander Nolasco pitches and misses up and in. Two balls and no strikes on Gaston. Columbia's taken a lead over Charleston tonight. That's a significant game. 2-1 in the bottom of the seventh. Check swing, and Gaston went too far. I think that was in the zone anyways. 2-1, but if Columbia is able to win tonight, the Woodpeckers fall. They'll be down 5.5 games in the Carolina League South divisional race. 2-1. Gaston underneath it, pops it up. Skyward towards the roof, and a foul ball to get it to 2-2.
Not to mention a loss if Salem were to come back would all of a sudden bring Kannapolis just one game back of the Fireflies for that top spot.
We're not quite yet at the midway point of the first half, but we're getting there. 2-2. Popped up. This is over to the third base side. Plunge drifting over towards the seats for it, and that will fall into the stands for a foul ball. We'll play game number 30 of the season on Friday night. And again, it's 66 games to decide the first half champions. So at the end of this series, we'll be at the midway point of the first half. It's flying on by. It'll be the end of May before you know it. And here's the 2-2. Gaston takes it down the dirt. Three balls and two strikes. And already a lot of activity for this Fayetteville team over the first 28 games. There was another couple of roster moves made today that affect the Woodpeckers pitching staff and their outfield. 3-2 to Gaston is up high. That's a walk, and the eighth inning will carry on, bring Leo Molina to the plate. Molina coming up 0-1 with a strikeout and a walk, but it was announced before the game today that the Woodpeckers have put Brett Gillis back onto the injured list. He was rehabbing in the Florida Complex League. An arm injury. Came to Fayetteville, came to Salem to pitch for the Woodpeckers and looked sharp with a couple of scoreless innings. Molina swings, lofts a liner, shallow to left, and that'll fall for a base hit. Third hit of the night for the Woodpeckers, third single. Gaston down to second, Molina on to first. And for the second time in this game, the Woodpeckers have put multiple base runners on, and Rolando Espinoza comes up.
I think I figured out their problem, Chappie. They're hitting the ball too hard.
That's
that time,
right.
Leo's Danny Molina took something off on that swing, just dropped it out into shallow left field in front of Laureano, and all of a sudden, tying run comes to the plate with two down in the eighth.
Yeah, the real good contact's been dying on the warning track tonight. Off the end of the bat, different story. Same story, though, for Rolando Espinoza, who came up with two on and one out in the sixth and struck out looking. First pitch. Fastball strike. So Gillis back to the injured list. He felt something in the arm out in Salem, so he'll be sidelined for a bit. And the Woodpeckers also added Luis Perez, an outfielder from the Florida Complex League, today to help fill out that final spot on the roster. Fastball is inside. And it is 1-1 on Espinoza. Luis Perez, over 50 games last year, hit 205 in the FCL. And now he'll take on full season baseball for the first time in his career. 1-1. Good fastball, and Espinoza was late swinging. One ball and two strikes. Espinoza with a pair of walks and a single so far in this series, now taking on that leadoff role for the Packers after the departure of Ryan Clifford. Nolasco gets the sign from Clonch, sets the belt, peeks to second, is 1-2. Is down to the dirt, and a good take by Espinoza.
Good stop, too, from Clonch. Remember, ball gets to the backstop, and then all Espinoza needs is a base hit, and is able to bring this game within one.
Force it every base, 2-2 count, and here it is. Espinoza swings, a ground ball pulled out to short. It's shoveled over to second by Sprinkle, and that'll do it for the inning. Woodpeckers got a couple on with two outs, but can't bring them around, and we are going to the ninth. Kannapolis holding firm with the shutout, 3-0.
Nolan DeVos. Leading off the top of the ninth inning for the Cannonballers, the second baseman, number one, Wilbur Sanchez.
Nolan DeVos pitches the top of the ninth inning. He's trying to go the final four tonight behind Trey Dombrowski. And the pitch misses up and outside to Wilbur Sanchez, the nine hitter to begin the inning. 3-0 Kannapolis. And here's the pitch. Down to the dirt. And they got a piece of Encarnacion flush. And it's 2-0. Two balls, no strikes to Sanchez. And the pitch is outside on the corner. It missed, 3-0. It's kind of shaping up to be a trend here where when Nolan DeVos and Trey Dombrowski step to the hill, it's a quiet night for the bullpen. 3-0, and there's a strike on the inside edge, 3-1. But DeVos and Dombrowski combined to go the 9 in a 7-0 shutout in Salem last Thursday. Tonight they're trying to combine to go the 9 again. Turned it into quite the 1-2 punch. 3-1, pulled sharply out to short. Diving stop on the glove-hand side by Lofton. To his feet to first. Oh, it looked close. But the call goes the way of Sanchez. He beats it out. Just barely earns himself an infield single. And takes away a near-beautiful play from Jackson Lofton.
That would have been nice. Kind of similar to what we saw from Leo Stanley Molina last night. Lofton had a little bit of time to get up and throw, but Sanchez can really move, and that extra stride at the end was just enough to get his foot to the base before the throw got him.
Now a two-hit game for Sanchez, 2-for-3, and make it 2-for-4. And now a first pitch fastball strike to Jordan Sprinkle. Spinner to throw over to first. And a dive back in for Sanchez.
I guess he's Alphabet goes ABD because he can't see anything.
So 0-1 on Sprinkle as Leo Molina, the second baseman, pinching towards the middle, swinging a foul tip into the glove. Encarnacion's throw to second arrives late, and Sanchez able to hook onto the bag as Molina tried to drop the tag and couldn't get it. So it's 0-1. And runner on second base. Sanchez swipes the bag, and Kannapolis now 2-for-2 in stolen bases. Encarnacion calls for time. They're going back and forth. Columbia and Salem now tied 2-2 in the top of the eighth inning. And the Woodpeckers hoping they don't drop a game in the division to the top team. Swing, miss, high fastball, and DeVos gets him. Nolan DeVos living with the fastball right now. He has racked up 7 strikeouts over 3 1/3. All but making every single Kannapolis hitter has now struck out at this stage at least once. And if that's the way it ends for DeVos tonight, as it seems it will, Ricky Rivera working his way out to the mound, he can be proud of another strong outing. A game after he gave up no hits over 5 innings, he gives up just 2 today. And K's 7. He'll get a nice ovation from this Wednesday night crowd and his teammates waiting for him down to the dugout. Fayetteville bullpen. And Ian Fago will try and get the final couple outs of this ninth when we come back.
It makes it easier to bear.
Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto Service. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 35, Ian Fago.
I invent a sweat. Popping bottles, putting supermodels in the cab. Proof. I guess I got my swagger back. Truth. New watch alert. New blows. Or the big face rolly, I got 2 of those. Arm out the window through the city, I maneuver slow. Cock back, snap back, see my cut through the holes.
Damn, easy and ho. Where the hell you been? Talking real reckless, stuck man. I adopted these. Cause I'm coming in. Now I'm about to make them tuck their whole summer in. They say I'm crazy, well I'm about to go dumb again. They ain't see me cause I pulled up in my other bins. Last week I was in my other bins. Throw your diamonds up cause we in this bitch another again.
Photo shoot fresh, looking like wealth. I'm about to call a paparazzi on myself. Live from the Mercer.
Ian Fago is out of the bullpen for the Woodpeckers to try and get the final 2 outs of this ninth inning. Faces Brooks Baldwin. And a fastball is down and outside to Baldwin, 1-0. Nolan DeVos goes 3 1/3. He strikes out 7, surrenders just the 2 hits. As of right now, no runs and 3 walks. Fago, who serves as usually the closer for the Woodpeckers, hasn't gotten his work in yet this series, so he'll come out of the bullpen in a non-save spot. Popped out of play. Baldwin goes to 1-1. Fago did earn a save out in Salem over the weekend. His second of the year in 3 opportunities. 0-2 record and an 8.10 ERA over 7 games this year. Here's the set in the 1-1. Hanging breaking ball. Pulled on the ground out to second base. A shuffle to the left by Molina. He collects. Throws to first. Gets Baldwin for the second out. And that grounder will advance Sanchez down to third. Two away, and here is Tim Elko. Coming off a night yesterday where he fell just a triple shy of the cycle, hit his 8th home run of the year. He's been a non-factor tonight. 0-for-4, a pair of strikeouts, and a pair of groundouts. The first one to him. High and away. 96-mile-per-hour fastball pumped in by Fago, and it is 1-0. 3 runs on 8 base hits tonight for Kannapolis. 6 singles and 2 extra base hits. Here's the 1-0. And Elko takes it outside. 2 balls and no strikes. A triple by Bryce Willits in the 4th, and then the home run by Drake Logan. 3 runs for the Ballers, all coming in that 4th inning. Otherwise, it's been a pretty dominant night for the Fayetteville pitching staff between Dombrowski, DeVos, and Fago now. Here's the 2-0. That pitch missed outside. A slider slipped, and it's 3-0.
Be a big out if Fago can get it. You look to the bottom of the ninth inning, and Fayetteville's got their 2, 3, and 4 hitters up. All guys that have hit the ball well today, just haven't gotten the results.
League leader in RBIs, Tim Elko, sitting on 29, looking for 30. He does swing on the 3-0 pitch and is a tick late on a fastball. 3-1. Fredericksburg scores 4 tonight in the top of the 8th inning to take a 3-2 game to 7-2 over the Carolina Mudcats on the road. 3-1 outside to Elko, missed by a lot. And a 2-out walk puts runners at the corners and gives Bryce Willits a chance to bat for a 5th time. Charleston is really threatening. They were down 6-0 going into the top of the 8th, but they have scored 2 runs. They have runners in 2nd and 3rd and nobody out. Now a 6-2 game, trailing the Augusta Green Jackets on the road.
I think another walk was actually issued, so it's going to be loaded with
loaded
the time
again.
Run-up.
Wow. Columbia and Salem still tied 2-2, and Lynchburg leading Myrtle Beach comfortably 5-1 after they took a perfect game into the 7th inning. Pitch to Willits. A line drive left side. That's going to get through and out into left center field. Scoring from third is Sanchez. Elko stops at second, and Bryce Willits has a 3-hit night. RBI single. And Kannapolis, as they did yesterday, adding some insurance in the 9th inning. It's now 4-0.
And credit to Willits. He really has stung the ball well. Even his out in the 2nd inning was a pretty deep fly ball out to center field. Those games where your cleanup hitter seeing the ball well, anytime that happens, got a good of a chance of as anybody to win the ball game. And really, Willits has just been the horse right now for Kannapolis offensively.
Now it's Troy Klontsch, and that slider misses low and away. That run will go against Nolan DeVos, so it's not a scoreless night for Nolan. He ends up giving up one earned. Slider down and outside, and that gets through the catcher. Clipped the webbing of Encarnacion and will move the runners on. Elko down to third and Willits to second. The Asheville Tourists tonight, coming off of a delay yesterday, were able to get a doubleheader in today. And they split that doubleheader with the Rome Braves, a 5-4 win and a 3-1 loss. 2-0 pitch. Misses a little bit low. No call to strike. And it's 2-1. And the 5-4 victory for the Tourists. They got a home run from Zach DiZenzo. And a 3-hitless scoreless inning performance from Walker Brockhaus. What a day it was for Brockhaus. Didn't walk anybody. 3 perfect innings. 6 strikeouts as well. He got the win. His first in high A.
Awesome
to go to 1-0.
There's a guy who was up there a little bit last year and trying to stick for good with the Tourists.
A pitch like that, you certainly stick around in that bullpen. 3-0 on Klontsch. Fago struggled. Walk a single and now in danger of walking another. His pitch home is a fastball strike. 95 miles an hour, gets to 3-2. I know you were looking into Ryan Clifford's day, Colin, and it wasn't the best start to high A career for Ryan Clifford. Do you think he would combine to go 0-for-6 today with 5 strikeouts in the doubleheader?
You'll have those days.
Acclimating to a new league. 3-2 pitch, slider down and outside, and Fago issues the walk to load up the bases. And they're juiced for Drake Logan, who hit the home run in the 4th inning. In Double-A, Corpus Christi Hooks are in the bottom of the 2nd in Game 2 of the doubleheader. We'll have a meeting on the mound now. Zach Wilkins is going out there to have a chat with Fago. Bring Balo and Encarnacion into the conversation. Game 1 for Corpus Christi goes to them. They go to 12-15 with the win. Now 5-2 was the final. Rhett Koba got the win for the Hooks, and he went 6 1/3, pitched into the 7th. Almost tossed a complete game in that 7-inning game. Gave up 2 earned runs, no walks, 3 strikeouts. Rhett's been really good this year in AA. A 2.73 ERA and a 2-1 record.
There's a reason he wasn't in single A for very long.
Yeah, Barber had a home run, and Drew Gilbert had a double. And first pitch, fastball, sails by Encarnacion, but ricochets back to the plate off of the net and keeps everybody where they are. In game two, Corpus Christi has Colton Gordon on the mound, and a rough start for him. He's given up three runs over two complete innings so far. 1-0 to Logan. Fastball for a strike. And it's one ball and one strike. In the Pacific Coast League, the Sugar Land Space Cowboys. I've already gone final. They played a daytime game at home today against El Paso. Check swing strike by Logan, and it is 1-2. So Fago getting ahead after the meeting on the mound. Sugarland today had Justin Dearden coming off a Player of the Week award with a triple. That was his third triple of the year. Ryland Bannon had a double, so did Joe Perez. 1-2 pitch. A check swing on a slider down and away, and that is ball two. Logan didn't go. Former Woodpecker Angel McQuade was on the mound today. And he suffered the loss, gave up four earned runs in the start over four innings. He did strike out seven, but he gave up three home runs. Two balls and two strikes with the bases loaded. The pitch. Logan takes it high and inside. And it's three balls and two strikes. Justin Dearden, who almost broke camp with the Astros during spring training, was one of those final roster decisions. He has an 882 OPS in AAA this year and a 279 batting average. Nowhere to put him. Full count, two outs. Runners are moving. Pitch is high. It is ball four, the third walk given up by Ian Fago. And that'll bring home the first run to his line. It is now 5-0 Cannonballers. Scoring Tim Elko. Willits is down to third. Clonch to second. And an RBI for Drake Logan. That's his third ribby of the night.
Barring the late comeback for Fayetteville, that stat of giving up five or more runs, is going to ring true once again.
First pitch outside, ball one.
1-14 coming into tonight when allowing five or more runs.
Just haven't had enough big offensive nights over the last couple of weeks to allow the pitching staff any room for error. Fastball down and outside, and you can sense some frustration now from Fago. Just not locating the fastball where he needs it. And there's going to be a little bit of stirring out there in the Fayetteville bullpen now. Betancourt ahead 2-0. Three walks and a single now for Fago after he got the ground out from Baldwin for the second out of the inning. Right back to the fastball, and it's in there. A strike, 2-1. Right now you're in a spot where all of the Houston Astros affiliates have under 500 records, trying to get back to that even mark. Fastball up top, and it's 3-1. Loss tonight would drop the Woodpeckers to four games back of 500. Not quite their lowest mark. Five games back of 500 is their worst. But they'll have some major making up to do this week at home if they drop this one. Three balls, one strike, bases loaded. Fastball outside. And it's just not finding the target right now for Ian Fago. Frustrating night for him. Encarnacion going out there to the mound to talk it over. Willits will score. Fourth walk by Fago. RBI for Betancourt. That's his third walk of the game.
He's reached base four times now at a single as well. Fago, just a nightmare inning so far. It's always a lonely feeling when you're out there on the mound and this man just isn't where you're used to having it.
Joanna Bill Lariano is the ninth Cannonballer to step to the plate this inning. We have two outs. The first pitch from Fago. Slider is going to find the zone. It is 0-1. He got that quick ground out from Brooks Baldwin, but since that ground out, two outs in the inning, five straight cannonballers have reached base. It's gone walk, single, walk, walk, walk. And the 0-1 to Laureano. Down to the dirt, smothered by Encarnacion. One ball and one strike. Game two tomorrow, 7:05 first pitch, and on the mound for the Woodpeckers will be right-hander Tyler Guilfoyle. Has been really good this year. The eighth rounder out of Kentucky, 1-0 with a 1.83 ERA. That pitch sails high, clips off the glove of Encarnacion, comes back his way, and it's 2-1 on Laureano. Next pitch will be number 30 for Ian Fago, and that bullpen is warming up. This could be the last chance for Fago to get out of this turbulent ninth inning. Six cannonballers has reached base so far in the ninth, and now time is called. And we got a pitch clock violation on Fago. That's going to put it to 3-1.
Not what you want in that situation.
No, that's a brutal one. Already kind of in his head with the command, now has to work from behind. 3-1 to Laureano. Here's the kick and the pitch. Fastball close, but doesn't get the call. Missed just a bit outside. Third straight bases loaded walk. Fourth in a row for Fago. And it's night over. Ricky Rivera is going to the mound. And he will turn the bullpen a night to forget for Ian Fago with five walks and two with the bases loaded to make this a 7-0 game. One out to get. We'll tell you about the new right-hander when we come back on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Honey dripping honey from the holler in Kentucky. Get you flipping kind of trippy like a Mississippi hippie. She's a Kansas princess. Crazy mother trucker, undercover lover. Thick southern draw, sexy swinging wall. Brother, she's all country. From a cowboy.
Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto Service. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 50, Jeremy Molero.
Bases loaded spot for Jeremy Molero coming out of the bullpen. Ian Fago unable to get the final couple of outs, and now the 10th batter of the inning, Wilbur Sanchez, who started out the ninth with a single. He's back at the plate, and he swings through a slider. Jeremy Molero making his home debut tonight. He went an inning and a third scoreless, hitless out in Salem in his full season debut last week. Jeremy Molero, another one of those side armers, joins Brian Perez in the bullpen. He pitches and misses outside. 6'2" right-hander, 23 years old. He's from Valencia, Venezuela. 1-1 now on Sanchez. 7-0 Kannapolis, running away with it here in the ninth with the bases loaded walks. Three in a row, bringing Sanchez to the plate. And that pitch scoots him off the dish. 2-1. Malero pitched in the FCL last year. 12 games, 4 starts, 8 relief appearances. He had a 2-2 record and a 3.13 ERA. He struck out 46 over 31 and 2/3. 2-1 pitch is down on the outside corner. It missed. Encarnacion couldn't squeeze it. 3-1. The walks, of course, really starting to rack up now for this Fayetteville pitching staff. They've issued 10 walks, which is the second most in a game this year. Malero in danger of allowing another. 3-0 pitch outside, ball four. And it's 8-0. The fourth straight walk with the bases loaded. And the fifth straight. Clonch, Logan, Betancourt, Laureano, and Sanchez have now all drawn ball four. That'll be the fourth run home against Ian Fago. And everybody's getting RBIs today.
Yeah, good inning if you're a Kannapolis hitter. Just really go up there and wait for something to hit. And right now, it just hasn't happened.
Yeah, so now the 4-9 hitters for Kannapolis have all driven in at least one run today. Drake Logan, the big run provider, with 3 to go with his 2-run home run in the fourth. Jordan Sprinkle is the hitter. He swings through an 0-1. And now Jeremy Malero right on the precipice of getting back to the dugout and bringing the Woodpeckers up to the plate. Here's the 0-1, 0-2, and a slider missed outside. It's consecutive games, though, Colin, where you've gotten to the ninth inning and you could call it a fairly competitive game. Yesterday it was 3-1 going into the ninth. Tonight 3-0 right. Going into the ninth. Kind of the same circumstances for the offense where you have 3 hits, all singles. Fayetteville doesn't have an extra base hit yet this week. But just a ninth inning to forget as that one pops loose from Encarnacion, but the runners will stay where they are.
Yeah, that last home series against the Down East Wood Ducks, it was the opposite. It was first inning where
right.
All those runs were coming in. So far, Kannapolis has done most of their damage in this final inning.
Yeah, so you can say that Woodpeckers altogether, even though the offense has been quiet, have played 16 innings of pretty solid baseball in this series so far. It's just been a 2-run ninth yesterday and a 5-run ninth so far tonight that make the box score look a little uglier. But it finally comes to a close. Jeremy Malero strikes out Jordan Sprinkle, leaves the bases loaded. But 6 walks in the inning, 4 with the bases loaded, have brought home 5 total runs. And it's turned lopsided. 8-0 going to the bottom of the ninth when we come back on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Fans, introducing Bally Live, the only app where minor league baseball fans can score major rewards. When you stream your favorite teams live, you'll score rewards. When you chat with friends during a watch party, you'll score rewards. And when you test your skills at trivia, you'll score rewards. Being a fan of minor leagues has never been so rewarding. So what are you waiting for? Download Bally Live for free from the app or Play Store and start scoring rewards today.
Back on the mound for the Cannonballers, Yohemi Nolasco.
Oh,
Leading off the bottom of the ninth inning for the Woodpeckers, the right fielder, number 13, Tyler Whitaker.
Tyler Whitaker leads off the bottom of the ninth inning, squares up a ground ball, hits it out to second base. It's scooped and thrown to first for out number one. Another very well-struck ball for Tyler Whitaker. He's had a couple of fly balls down the warning track today. That ground ball had pretty solid exit velo behind it. He's going to finish 0 for 4. Baseball can be a pain in the neck sometimes, and tonight it surely is for Tyler Whitaker. And now it's Narbe Cruz. 8-0 Kannapolis. And first pitch to Cruz is at the knees for strike one. Yoami Nolasco is back out there on the mound. He's been pitching since the 7th and given up just a pair of singles, 2 strikeouts, no walks. The 0-1 is a little bit high, just below the letters. 1-1 on Narbe Cruz. I mentioned Tyler Guilfoyle will be on the mound tomorrow. For the Cannonballers, it'll be Connor McCullough. And Narbe Cruz squares it up, sends it deep center field all the way to the start of the warning track, but Baldwin playing deep. Doesn't have to go too far back to make the catch. Out number 2. And the Woodpeckers down to their final out tonight. Comes down to Ricardo Ballo, who will swing from the left side.
Battle the Wildcats tomorrow with Guilfoyle, the former Kentucky Wildcat, McCullough, the former Kansas State Wildcat.
McCullough, a former teammate of Casey Ford, who is now in Asheville. Fastball strike on the inside to Ballo.
He's named Pitcher of the Week alongside with Zach Cole, who was named Hitter of the Week last week.
0-1 pitch is popped up over our heads in the booth, and the Woodpeckers down to their final strike. If you're Kannapolis, you have to feel pretty good about going up 2-0 in this series and then having your reigning pitcher of the week going to the mound tomorrow. Shane Murphy and along with Tyler Schweitzer have been fantastic starters to begin this series. Kannapolis has gotten a combined 11 innings of scoreless baseball out of their starting pitchers. Woodpeckers found 1 strike away from being shut out tonight for just the second time this year. Fastball up on the outside corner, and rather make it, I believe, the 3rd time this year that Fayetteville has been shut out. If they can't get a run here in the dying moments, lost to Salem on Sunday 5-0, which was the 2nd of the year. Would be a 3rd shutout and a 2nd shutout in 3 days. Ballo rips that one towards the stairs, the first base dugout.
And back to the point you made about the starting pitcher from Kannapolis, 11 shutout innings. Combined to give up just 1 hit over those innings. Can't get much better than that.
Nope. Just a single. That is all. And now the pitch to Cruz, or excuse me, to Ballo. And that goes down into the stairwell. 2 balls and 2 strikes. 7:05 first pitch tomorrow, Friday as well. 5:05 Saturday, and then 2:05 in the series wrap up on Sunday. Another 2-2 pitch to Ballo. It is just outside. Close one, gets it to 3-2. On deck is John Garcia. Second straight night where the Woodpeckers have been held to just 3 hits, all singles. And now the payoff. Ballo swings, foul tips it off of Clonch. He couldn't squeeze it. And the battle will carry on. After Shane Murphy, the Kannapolis bullpen pieced it together. Eric Gadler, Johnny Ray for just a 3rd of an inning, and then Nolasco trying to close it out with 3 scoreless in relief and get a save in an 8-0 game. The pitch to Ballo is lined out in the left field. That's falling fast, and it will touch in. So Ballo extends the game. Woodpeckers surpass their hit total from a night ago. They get their 4th hit. 3rd against Nolasco. And Ballo goes to 1-for-4.
I got a pinch hitter coming in. But a debut.
Yeah, we do. Never too late in the game for a Woodpeckers debut. Welcome in number 15. It is Luis Perez. Perez added to the roster today, called up from the Florida Complex League. And here comes the first pitch to Perez. High outside corner fastball. He pinch hits for John Garcia.
And Garcia finishes his day 0 for 3 with a couple of strikeouts. And now here's the pitch. Perez checks the swing, and it's called a strike anyways. Battage is 205 last year in the FCL, played in 50 complex games, and now there's a Fayetteville Woodpecker playing in the Carolina League for the first time. Down to the final strike again. Here it comes. Perez swings and hits a high, deep drive out of the left field. This ball is way back towards the track, but it is caught by Laureano. And Luis Perez puts a charge into one on his first at bat as a Carolina leaguer. But as the story goes most of the night, it falls a little bit short. And it dashes the Woodpeckers' hopes at breaking up the shutout. They fall 8-0 in game two. And fall down 2-0 in the series. Tough break tonight for the Woodpeckers. 8-0 the final. We go to break and back for the postgame show next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. And on the other side when you check it out. You say your style of life's a drag, and that you must go other places. But just don't you feel too bad when you get fooled by smiling faces. But don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, mama. Cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it out. When you get off your trip, don't you worry.
Time to close the night with the Woodpeckers postgame show. Here's Andrew Chapman and Colin Casey.
Hey, Woodpeckers fans, welcome back up inside the broadcast booth. It was great to be with you tonight. Thanks for being a part of our Wagon Wednesday ball game. Game two of this series goes to the Cannonballers again, and tonight they're able to complete the shutout of the Woodpeckers. 8-0, the final score. And, Colin, kind of like last night, it was a game that was within striking distance going into the ninth inning. Woodpeckers got some more good bullpen work in this one. Nolan DeVos with 3 1/3 innings. He struck out 7. Trey Dombrowski was really solid, aside from a fourth inning where, you know, the Cannonballers were able to make some adjustments, get some hits. If the hits start falling in, though, and the offense can be a little bit more consistent as this series goes on, though, I feel like Fayetteville can still grab a game against these Cannonballers.
Absolutely, and I thought the approach was great throughout the game for Fayetteville. They were aggressive, and they put the ball in play a lot. Unfortunately, they just really couldn't find a whole lot of gaps. Them only having 4 hits doesn't really tell the whole story about how they looked offensively as a team. There were some really good swings put on, a couple of warning track shots. I mean, Tyler Whitaker was snake-bitten in this game. He had about 4 great swings and didn't get rewarded for any of them, so that's just baseball sometimes. That's how it goes. You'll have those nights as a team, and ultimately they were still in it towards the end. Tough ninth inning, that'll happen, but right now Fayetteville finds himself in a similar situation they were in exactly a week ago in Salem. They lost the first couple of games. They roared back to win 3 in a row and eventually secure a split in the series, and I'm sure they'll definitely take that at this point, having dropped the first couple of games, but still a lot of baseball left to be played this week, and all you can ask for is Tyler Guilfoyle to get on the mound tomorrow and give your team a chance to get a victory and get right back on track.
Yeah, Tyler Guilfoyle goes tomorrow, 1-0 record and a 1.83 ERA. He's been fantastic for the Woodpeckers. He'll take on reigning Carolina League pitcher of the week and right-hander Connor McCullough. He's 1-2 with a 2.79 ERA. Thirsty Thursday out of the ballpark tomorrow, so we got plenty of drink specials for you. Come on out, should be another warm one out at Segura Stadium. You can find us on FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com and the MILB First Pitch app or MILB.TV to watch the game if you're not able to make it out to the park. Thanks again for being with us tonight, everybody. 8-0 the final. Kannapolis takes a 2-0 lead in this series.
into our Thursday game tomorrow. So long for the booth, and make sure to drive home safely, everybody. Take care. South Street, the 125th. Women used to tease me, giving to me now nice and easy. Since I moved up like Georgia Wheezy, cream to the maximum, I'll be axing them. Would you like to bounce with your brother that's blacking them? Never see Will attacking them. Rather play ball with Shaq and them, flatten them. Like, getting. Thought I took a spell, but I didn't. Trust the lady of my life, she hitting. Hit her with a drop top, with the ribbon. Crib for my mom. I'm on the outskirts of Philly. You trying to flex on me? Don't be silly. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it.